KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Looking for...
Earlier in the season with the Fresno Athletics, they split 1-1, and they also split earlier this week to the Cal State Peloteros, losing the first game 6-9 and winning the second 9-4. So another split series, and they are yet to lose one on the year. As I mentioned, 24 wins and just 3 losses on the year. Not a lot of scoring last night, but we're heading into the second game of the series. We're very excited to see what we can do here, looking for their 25th win on the season here for the 45s.
Yeah, but... chance to get the 25th win for the Colt 45s here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. We're online at KCNR 1460 Chomp. The second game of a three-game series against the Athletic Edge Express will be up here tomorrow. The third game, the fifth game of the week, rather, will be against the Speaker Nuggets. That will be Sunday at 7:15. Jacob Green joined here by Spencer Slangy. It's great to have you with us. The starting lineups for the Petaluma Athletic Edge Express. They'll be sending Hayes Garen Blair out there at shortstop to lead things off against Nathan Medina of the Colt 45s. It will be Jelani Mason in center field, followed by J.T. Summers, the DH, batting third. Lucas Schaefer at first base, batting in the cleanup spot. Then Brady Boyd at third base. Will Toker, right field. Justin Lucas in left field. Justin Brinson at second base. And then Sam Duran, the catcher, batting ninth. For the Athletic Edge Express Ball Club. Again, Jeremy Miller at short, Mason in center, Summers the DH, Schaefer at first, Boyd the third baseman, Coker in right, Lucas in left, and Brinson at second base, Duran the catcher. Facing off against Nathan Medina for these Colt 45s. And in that two-game series, Colt 45s with the split, we're going to await the national anthem here. This will be live, brought to you by the Sandlot Sounds.
national anthem was brought to you by the Sandlot Sound. And now we're going to get to these Colt 45s starting lineups. And, of course, Trevon Rogowski will be in center field leading things off for the Colt 45s, followed by Mark Anthony Carroll at shortstop, then Andrew Mora at first base, followed by Dom DeCagno in right, then John Handy sitting in that DH spot. He'll be batting fifth, followed by Mondo Hano at third, Ryan Hamm getting the start at second base, Corey Likens in left, and Rain McMillan, catcher of Nathan Medina. Nathan Medina on the year. He's 2-0 with a 2.57 ERA. Six appearances, he has a save and 14 innings underneath his belt. He's got 16 strikeouts and he's walked a total of four. His last win came against the Rose City Rosebuds on July 6th, where he pitched three innings of relief work with a couple of strikeouts. Did not allow hit or a run on that. Wonderful four-game set versus the Rose City Rosebuds out of Portland, Oregon, just last weekend, Independence Day weekend, where the ballpark was filled with fans, especially on Friday night, the 4th, and had to watch fireworks from the field after the game. But early on in that bottom of the 1st, they got to watch fireworks out on the field, and Dom DeCagno led the way with that 3-run shot in the bottom of the 1st. That was right before the Colt 45s would send 15 batters to the plate in a slugfest against the Rosebuds. Nathan Medina will be facing off against Chris Ruddle, another right-hander for the Athletic Edge Express. After last night, the Athletic Edge Express starting pitcher, Luke Dillon, absolutely shoved for this ball club. He went 8 innings, allowed 3 runs, but unfortunately got the loss after he was out-dueled by Ty Cook, who went 9 innings of 2-hit baseball, striking out 10. 3-hit baseball, rather, for Ty Cook, but a complete game shutty for the right-hander.
Yeah, it's really a great performance there from Ty Cook last night. Absolutely dominant from start to finish, as you mentioned, going distance all the way, and the shutout just the icing on the cake, for sure, on another great victory for the Colt 45s. And as I mentioned earlier, not as much scoring last night as we're grown accustomed to seeing from this Colt 45s team this campaign, and last year as well. But we'll see if tonight they get the bats going earlier and stronger.
And something I do want to talk about is that home run from Dylan Green, which, out of the airwaves, kind of hard to convey what happened exactly, but as that ball landed on the warning track, also this came in the eighth inning, so the last ups really for the Colt 45s was the one-run lead, and it came in the eighth inning that he hit out toward right center, right by that 370 mark. It appeared as though it hit the warning track and bounced over with very large amount of top spin, and the outfielders were motioning that the ball was over the fence near the ground rule double, but after a umpire review, it was called a home run, and then it was 3-0, and that's the way the ball game ended up staying. Colt 45s improved to a record of 24-3 as they look to get their 25th win tonight here against this ball club out of Petaluma. And for us, Spencer, it's always great to have you back, another color commentator, after having my dad on the call last weekend. You having a whole 5 or 6 games off now, back in the saddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to hear when my weekend is somewhere else. Absolutely. Just great baseball we've seen this season from the Colt 45s, and a lot of homes they've had. Obviously, last year they really took it to Rosebud, but scoring a lot of runs is what we, like you mentioned, we've grown accustomed to seeing from this Colt 45 side, and we're hoping to see more of that tonight after a record slow game yesterday, but still an exciting one. And I'm great to join you here in the booth again, always, Jacob.
Oh, yeah. It's, as I've talked about many times before, it's just so much fun to do this. Even with the 102-degree weather here at first pitch, and a strong breeze blowing in from right field behind a plate, but it's going to be Taze Garamalair to lead things off from that right side, the shortstop for this ball club to lead off the game last night as well.
is the first pitch from Medina. Misses upstairs for ball one. First pitch comes in exactly at 7:15. And we are underway here at Tagger Field in Redding, California. Right-hand hitter deep in the box with a slightly closed stance. Here's the pitch from Medina as a line shot over the leaping Carroll and into shallow center field for a base hit. That's the way our ball game begins. A single for Darren Millar.
And that's a great looking hit from Darren Millar there, as you mentioned. Just really attacking the first. He's the leadoff hitter in the game, so just really attacking that first one after not scoring it all last night. You really want to just get on the base early. And Darren Millar does a great job of doing that there.
Yeah, great job from him just to get some wood on. Get some wood on it, knock it over out of Carroll's reach. Now the first pitch to the left hand hitting. Mason is hit in the air toward left. Left fielder giving chase to the track, right to the wall. Will squeeze it on the run, quickly play it back. A fantastic play from Corey Likens, chasing that ball down towards the corner.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Jacob, just a great job. But the wind is pretty strong right now, too, here at 7:15. Right at the start of the game, the wind picked up even more. And that ball was hit. Looked like it was going to go around left center. It just kept on carrying all the way to the warning track there. And all the way out to left field. And Corey Likens does a great job playing chase to that and getting the grab for the first out of the inning here.
Yeah, that ball just kept getting pushed toward the corner. And great job by Corey Likens to chase it down. Runner going. Throw by Rain McMillan on a hop off the mound. Handled by the second baseman, Ryan Hamm. Could have been trouble. Could have been extra bases. Great play by the second baseman covering second, Ryan Hamm, moving to his left to corral that baseball after it hopped off the mound with a little weird skip. Now Medina kicks and deals a breaking ball that hits the top of the zone to even up the count at one ball and one strike. With the runner at second base here in a scoreless top of the first inning. This pitch from Medina is a single up the middle and through. Rogowski up with the ball, rounding third, and a stop sign thrown up as Rogowski absolutely hucks it back in. And a great play by Rain McMillan, the catcher, after the throw was on a few hops up the third baseline to corral it. Another hard hit knock puts runners at the corners.
Yeah, Summers just doing what we started with Darren Millar there. Now we got runners on the corners, as you mentioned. Just another great hit. You hear that ball pop, right, when it hits the wooden bat there, and it just hops over the second baseman. Ryan Hamm's got no chance there. It's going to make its way to the outfield. Now, as you mentioned, we got runners on the corners here in scoring position, which we didn't see much of last night at all. So great start so far for the Athletic Edge here.
I think this is the most traffic that has been on the bases in either of these two games that we've played so far, which is just about 10 innings of baseball by this point, and we're not even fully through the 10th inning of baseball in over a day. Runners at first and third. The Colt 45 is at double play depth. Medina kicks and deals. This one's hit in the air toward center. Rogowski giving chase back toward the warning track in left center. Looking up, and it is gone. A three-run shot from Lucas Schaefer, and all of a sudden the offense has woken up for the Athletic Edge Express.
Yeah, just absolutely belted there by Schaefer. He knew that one was gone. We had a little bit of doubt as far as the wind going, see if that ball was going to die out at all, but it really carried, and it just ended up going all the way. So it's going to be 3-0 to the Athletic Edge to start off this game, seeing ourselves in a position that the Colt 45s are not used to being in here.
Yeah, down before you even come up to bat in the bottom of the first is not something the Colt 45s have had to deal with a lot, and we'll see how they handle it tonight with only one out. Now nobody on for the right-hand hitter, Brady Boyd, who takes a call at strike one. Brady Boyd, last night at first base, had a tremendous night before he was substituted. Made a few fantastic plays over there at first. And Medina delivers a breaking ball just off the plate. Evens up the count at one ball and one strike. Again, with one out and nobody on after that three-run shot from Lucas Schaefer. Here's the 1-1 from Medina. Swing and a miss. Blew a fastball by him up and away. Got him to chase.
Yeah, and it's important here, Jacob, that Medina just, while there's no one on the base, no traffic on the bases, he just does some damage if he can. Get out of this inning. Obviously, the damage has been done, but trying to prevent anything worse.
Breaking ball down and away. Swing and a miss. Brady Boyd going fishing and comes back with nothing. That is out number two. Will Tokar up to the plate, the right fielder. And, yeah, as you said, Spencer, limiting damage, and that's part of what happened last night with Ty Cook after Darren Millar was the first out. It was a single and then an E5, and there was runners at first and third in the top of the first last night as well. And then Brady Boyd hit into a 6-4-3 double play, but in this case, nobody on. He struck out. Tokar lays off that pitch for ball one. Here's a 1-0 from Medina. There's a breaking ball hit in the air toward left. Routine flyout for Corey Likens, who handles the line shot. In the side is retired. The Colt 45s coming up in the bottom half. We're scoreless. We're up 3-0 after the top of the first inning, rather, as we head to the bottom half with the Colt 45s coming up. If you're looking for fun ways to explore your town, step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift music and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup that'll make your bank account happy. One-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else. That's Cascade Curation.
To explore your town, you've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Redding, California. 3-0 here in the bottom of the first with the Colt 45s getting their first ups, facing off against Chris Riddell for the Athletic Edge Express. Riddell, a righty out of Westmont College. Westmont University, I believe, actually. Trajan Rogowski due up along with Mark Anthony Carroll and Andrew Mora for these Colt 45s in a three-run deficit. Rogowski takes a first pitch fastball on the outside corner right of the belt, called strike one. Rogowski last night had a couple of Ks, a ground out, and a single. Quiet night offensively for Rogowski as he takes a strike at the bottom of the zone for strike two quickly in an 0-2 hole. White stands for the right-hand hitter, deep in the box. There's the 0-2 pitch, breaking ball, just misses. Good take there from Rogowski. The catcher, Cam Duran, was about ready to throw it around the horn. 1-2, nobody out, nobody on for Trajan Rogowski. Pitch from Riddell, misses low and away.
Yeah, Riddell looks like he's throwing hard tonight, obviously with the fresh arm just getting started, but just a little low, as you mentioned, on the last couple.
2-2 count, working off the first base side of the rubber. Riddell kicks and deals. Rogowski fouls it off out of play down the first base side. Count holds at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now with a new baseball, Riddell readies, winds and deals, bounces it in there for ball three. As the count fills, Rogowski doing a great job working it, gets it full after he was in an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, great patience by Rogowski, as you mentioned, just hanging in there. Now the payoff pitch is pending here.
Here's the payoff pitch from Riddell. The chopper up the middle, the shortstop charging in, gloves, and through. The second baseman able to recover it on the remedy outfield grass. Darren Millar charging in for it, kicked through his glove, couldn't get a clean handle on it, and Rogowski will reach on the E6. Likely would have beat it out had Darren Millar made a throw, but given that it was just under his glove, might have been a bang-bang play over there at first base. Now Mark Anthony Carroll, also out of Reedley College, along with tonight's starting pitcher, Nathan Medina. picks a first pitch ball off the plate outside for ball one. Rogowski being held on by the first baseman, Lucas Schaefer. Here's the 1-0. Foul tipped into the glove of Duran for strike one. Carroll playing shortstop tonight for the Colt 45s.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, Rogowski there getting on first base after being down 0-2 in the count, just playing the long game, great patience, and just working with every pitch he got and swinging at that payoff, and worked out for him as well with a little help from the shortstop, of course.
Foul tipped again into the glove of the chest catcher, chased the high cheese. And for Mark Anthony Carroll last night, he went 3-for-3 with a couple of stolen bases. 3-for-4 with a couple of stolen bases. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Riddell, popped out of play down the first base side. This count holds at 1-2. With the Athletic Edge Express defense at double play depth. And the overshift on the pull hitter. Shortstop and middle infielders shaded up the middle, but the third baseman playing a few steps off the line. Here's the 1-2. Misses in. 2-2 now. For Mark Anthony Carroll, coming off a very nice offensive night last night. With the Colt 45s down by a score of 3-0 here in the bottom of the first. Rogowski not going. This one's fouled back again out of play. Count holds at 2-2. Now Carroll digs back in. Rogowski takes his lead from first, being held on by Schaefer. Now the batter's going to call time, readjust his gear a little bit. Carroll steps out, now steps back in, taps the plate with his bat, wide stance up in the box. Rogowski, the lead from first, the 2-2 pitch from Riddell, misses low and away. It's the second consecutive batter to work the count full on Chris Riddell. The Athletic Edge Express pitching with a 3-run lead here in the bottom of the first. The payoff pitch misses inside. Check swing down to first. Bring him up. Strike 3 called. Mark Anthony Carroll can't believe it. He's in disbelief. He had tossed his bat already back toward the on-deck circle to take his free pass. And the first base umpire rung him up. Now it will be Andrew Mora digging in from the left side.
Yeah, a little bit unlucky there for Mark Anthony Carroll, as you mentioned. Couldn't tell from our angle, obviously. We went all the way around. The home plate umpire gets a second opinion as well, and he gets called out by the first base umpire. So now Mora's working with one out, and Rogowski will still be on first base, of course.
It's the good old 50-50 swing. It could go either way. Right on left matchup here with the left hand hitting Mora. Even stance, even the box runner going throw from the knee by Duran, not in time. Into second base, standing up with a stolen base is Trajan Rogowski. Steal number 13 of the season for Rogowski. Cam Duran with a throw from the knee. Just a little bit offline to that right field side and able to get in easily standing up was Rogowski.
Yeah, it's a great job also from Rogowski, just keeping his foot on the bag there, because second base or the shortstop obviously went for the tag. But
a 1-1 foul after Mora takes that pitch for a strike. Yeah, as you said, Spencer, just a great job by Rogowski to not overrun the bag and make the mistake. Now there's a runner in scoring position for Andrew Mora, who leads the team with 27 RBIs as he hits this one in the air toward right, drifting back to the track at the wall, and it is gone. Dropped out just to the left of the 3-10 mark, and all of a sudden, it's 3-2. The Athletic Edge only up by one now after the home run from Andrew Mora. The second home run of the season for Andrew Mora, and he absolutely clubbed that baseball. The right fielder gave a half-hearted chase. That was Will Toker out there, and looked up above that P-Mart sign and realized it was way over the fence.
Yeah, just absolutely belted by Mora, and someone we've seen as a left-handed hitter, someone we've seen who can hit on all areas of the field, he just brings that one right where it's expected, right down the right field line, and that one, as you mentioned, right fielder's given a half chase to it. He knew that one was gone off the bat.
Just absolutely turned on that pitch, and next thing you know, it's over the fence. Here's the 1-0 to DeCagna after he took a first pitch ball. And that one misses inside for ball two. 2-0 count with one out in this 3-2 ball game. Now the 2-0 is a ground ball toward the second baseman who handles the chopper, flips the first in time. Routine play for Justin Brinson. 4-3 on the play. DeCagno is retired for out number two. Now will be the right hand hitting John Handy to the plate. He's batting .377 on the year. He leads the team with 4 home runs and 22 RBIs. First pitch to Handy, misses low.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Jacob, we've seen a lot of damage from John Handy, so the Athletic Edge got to be grateful that there's no one on base here for his at-bat, but the damage has been done already, and he's just trying to add to it.
So Handy pops this one foul out of play. Picking up the count at 1-1. That was Andrew Mora's 30th and 31st RBI in his second home run of the year. He's had himself a solid season. And that's just offensively. Here's the 1-1, squeaks through for ball two. Missed inside, and the catcher, Cam Duran, couldn't quite get a clean handle on it.
And as you were mentioning with Andrew Mora, just his offense has been absolutely stellar, but his defense at the first base has been great all year, too, with that long stretch and jumping for balls that he probably has no business in getting, but he makes it happen. And he's a big reason this Colt 45's defense and offense has been so successful this season.
And that's what you need from your first baseman as Handy takes another ball. Now a 3-1 count with two outs here in this 3-2, bottom of the first, check swing inside corner. Actually caught the wrist of Handy, so he'll take first base regardless. He'll be on the hit by pitch, not necessarily the walk. Two outs, another runner aboard. And yeah, for Andrew Mora, we saw it last night. He flashed the leather around a little bit as well after a couple of great plays from Isaac Mondojano in that 6-4 frame. Just adding a little bit of an extra edge for this Colt 45 defense. With that extension, you're able to knock off just a little bit of time and make those close plays at first a little less close and a little more clear that the runner's out. Handy with a large lead over there at first, about four steps off the bag. The first pitch, fastball in the outside corner right at the belt to the right hand hitting Isaac Mondojano. Handy at first being held on by Luke Schaefer. Now the righty, Riddell, kicks and deals. This one's fouled back out of play, back behind us for strike two. Colt 45 is with two runs in the inning already, looking to add on more here, the tying run at first base and John Handy. No balls and two strikes to Mondojano, even stance deep in the box. The 0-2 pitch from Riddell, bounced in there, blocked by Duran, thought about a backpack to first, but holds on to it. 1-2 and two strikes now to the right-hand hitting Mondojano. Mondojano awaiting, now ready as Riddell comes set, checks the run at first, kicks and deals, misses just a bit low. Tried to sneak the heater in the bottom of the zone, catch Mondojano off balance. 2-2 with two outs. 3-2 in the bottom of the first. The 2-2 delivery from Riddell is a fastball on the outside corner. Ring him up. Strike three called. Mondojano knew it. The Colt 45s get a pair, but they strand one. After one, it's 3-2. The Colt 45s down by one. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Whether you're hunting for that discovery, whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection, or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, Cascade Curations is your creative sanctuary. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure. Cascade Curations at 1740 California Street in Redding, California.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curations store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us here on a Saturday night edition of Colt 45 Spaceball. Leading things off will be Justin Lucas, followed up by Justin Brinson, and then Cam Duran, the catcher. 7-8-9 hitters facing off against Nathan Dina. First pitch swing, ground ball toward second baseman, charging off balance throw toward first in time. A great play by Ryan Hamm, circling around it and flipping on the run for the easy 4-3 put out.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Jacob, great play by Ryan Hamm. Looked like he was going to get that easily until it took a big hop right off the infield grass and then able to just stay under it and make that easy throw. Or make that difficult throw look very easy to Andrew Moore there, and obviously Andrew Moore automatic from there, from that distance, gloves it easy for the first put out.
Yeah, just off that left leg, opposite of the throwing arm, and just slinging it sidearm as McKean delivers a first pitch fastball outside to Justin Brinson, a right hand hitter, deep in the box, a slightly open stance. Here's the 1-0 from the righty McKean off the first base side, breaking ball, catches the bottom of the zone to even it up at one ball and one strike.
And I will say, although the Colt 45s are still losing right now at the top of the second, it was a great job by them just staying calm, staying on their toes, and getting some runs under their belt as well. You see a lot of teams when they're used to being ahead in the game, as it looks like Brinson will be hit by a pitch there, so he will get a free pass to first base. Just a little wild pitch there from Medina. But as I was saying, obviously still trailing in this game by just one run, but through one inning, that's not too bad after a three-run shot being allowed. And a lot of the times when you see teams that are winning so much, when they go down early, they usually don't know how to respond. They're not put in that situation very often. So they do a great job of just handling the business, as always, and Andrew Mora gets them back in the game right away.
Especially knowing what this offense is capable of. I mean, they've put 20 runs on the board before. First pitch fastball from Medina to Cam Duran, right-hand hitter, catches the bottom of the zone for a called strike one. But it's always great to see just the morale overall seems perfectly fine, and they're already pulled back within this ball game. It's just a one-run game. Here's the pitch from Medina's ground ball to the third baseman Montojano on the grass, throws across in time for the 5-3 put out, but Brinson moves on over to second base. Not quite enough time to turn it around the horn. Now a runner in scoring position for the Athletic Edge Express, and the top of the order in K's Darren Malaire to the plate, who singled and then stole second base before he would later come around to score.
Now batting with a runner on second, shortstop number 23, K's Darren Malaire.
Right-hand hitter, even stance. He's one for one on the night. Singled his last time up. The first pitch from Medina is a little slow roller off the mound. Medina gets it himself, underhand toss for the 1-3 putout. As we head to the bottom of the second inning here in a 3-2 ball game, the Athletic Edge Express threaten, but they do not score. They leave one stranded over there at second base. Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You got to step into Cascade Curations, the coolest, cleanest little music thrift and art galleria in Shasta County. You have to see this place for yourself, across from Jack's Grill on California Street.
For your town, you've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us. here on this Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball, where the lights have come on, but still a long way away from taking full effect. And a smoky, surrounded, windy night at the ballpark. Perfect baseball weather here on a summer night, that's for sure. Due up for the Colt 45s will be Ryan Hamm, Corey Likens, and Rain McMillan, both teams in their respective halves of the first inning, sending six batters to the plate. 3-2 in this bottom of the second inning. Ryan Hamm steps into that right-hand batter's box, deep in the box with a wide-open stance. Here's the first pitch from Chris Riddell. Foul tipped, goes back toward the on-deck circle. For strike one. Hamm batting 324 on the season. Taps the plate with his bat, now readies. Riddell gets a sign from the catcher, Duran, who's at the up and in. Swing and miss, chase one way downstairs for strike two. Got him to chase that breaking ball. Now, the 0-2 from Riddell, off the first base side of the rubber, misses low. The Athletic Edge Express out of Petaluma, California, down right near where NASCAR is racing at this weekend at Sonoma Raceway, out there in wine country. Here's the 1-2. Foul tipped into the glove of the catcher, Duran holds on, and Ryan Hamm is down on strikes. That's out number one. Also, shout out my dad and his twin brother, Uncle Larry, tuning in. And they will actually be at that NASCAR race tomorrow, out there just near Petaluma, a few miles away.
Yeah, it's a couple fun weekends there for your family, absolutely. Calling games through the 4th of July, celebrating America's independence, and then straight to the strip to watch some NASCAR. Love that.
Yeah, that's a great, it's a very American two weekends right there. Some baseball, 4th of July action, and then NASCAR. Here's the 1-0 to Likens at the bottom of the zone on the outside corner to even up the count at one ball and one strike, especially for my dad, who got to go from calling baseball games to watching a NASCAR race. So some great sports in a couple of weekends. This pitch misses in the dirt, picked by Duran for ball two. Two balls and one strike on the right-hand hitting Corey Likens. Riddell winds and deals the 2-1, misses low again for ball three. Riddell almost trying to quick pitch in a sense. And just that rocky motion, can't seem to get that ball elevated unless he really slows things down. The 3-1 pitch is fouled up and out of play down the first base side to fill the count at three balls and two strikes. Riddell with a new baseball now rubs it up on the back slope of the mound. Climbs back up. Up tears in it. Duran, who gives him the sign. Riddell rocks back off that first base side. Kicks and deals the payoff pitch. Foul tips. Back to the screen.
Likens there. Just doing whatever he can to stay alive. That one was way too close to call. He took a real, real big chop at it, but it's going to go straight back. We're pending another payoff pitch here.
And just swinging at anything close. Here's the 3-2 again from Chris Riddell. Breaking ball freezes Corey Likens. He's down on strikes. He goes down a-looking. He had tossed his bat to the side and was about to take first base before he was rung up by the home plate umpire.
Yeah, another close one there. Hard to say from our angle again. Trust the umpire to make the right call there over us for sure.
Now it will be Rain McMillan to the plate. And in two innings of work for Chris Riddell, getting the start from the head coach of this Express team, Jeff Ingston. He struck out at least two Colt 45's batters in both the innings he's pitched. This one's grounded foul just barely for strike one. McMillan pulling it down the line. Missed by less than a foot. Rogowski on deck should the inning continue. There's two outs here in this bottom of the second inning of a 3-2 ball game. Now McMillan steps back into the box. Slightly open stance. Here's the 0-1 from Riddell. fastball right at the bottom of the zone on the outside corner for strike two. No balls and two strikes. Wind blowing in from right field. The 0-2 pitch with two outs. Skipped in there for ball one. With the sun really only in center and right field. Shadows covering nearly all of Tiger Field. And second base and the first baseman. 1-2 fouled up and back behind us. It actually stays inside of the Tiger Field fencing just barely. 1-2 for the right-hand hitter here in this bottom of the second inning of a 3-2 ball game as Chris Riddell kicks and deals the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball just misses. Solid take there from McMillan.
Yeah, it's a good look there from McMillan, as you mentioned, but I bet he's got to be feeling pretty unlucky after that first pitch in the series here, just going right down the third baseline, but just kicking a little bit foul. It's a great-looking hit. He would have at least got to first base off that.
Now the 2-2 is a line shot over the leaping shortstop, Darren Millar, and into left field for a base hit. McMillan had widened his stance and then choked up a little bit on the bat and was able to fight that inside pitch and dunk it over the leaping Darren Millar for a base hit. I'll bring up the top of the order in Trajan Rogowski, as I was talking about as well, as Adam Reyes will be the courtesy runner for McMillan. The first base and second baseman, depending on where they're playing on that right side of the infield or in the sun patches between the shade spots. So really only four fielders having to deal with the sun. As things have started to cool off here at Tiger Field, it's dropped down to 100 degrees, and the wind picking up as well. Here's the first pitch with the runner at first is a fastball on the inside corner right at the knees, called strike one. Trajan Rogowski reached on the E6 his last time up and then would come around to score on that two-run shot from Andrew Mora. Here's the 0-1, the line shot up the middle and through for a base hit. Holding at second base is Reyes, and runners at first and second base after a couple of singles. We'll bring up Mark Anthony Carroll, who struck out swinging his last time up.
This is what, as I mentioned in pregame, Jacob, what we're accustomed to seeing here from these Colt 45s, especially here at home at Tiger Field. Just really dominant. Once they get one hit, it just starts going and going and going. And even in the two-out rally section, in that column, they're still doing really good as well. And they're looking to build one of their own right here with Mark Anthony Carroll heading up to the plate.
Infield shift on for the right-hand hitter. First baseman playing behind the runner. First pitch catches the inside corner for a called strike one. Infield shifted the pull on the right-hand hitter, Carroll. There's the 0-1, fouled back out of play toward the parking lot for strike two. Runners at first and second. In a 3-2 ball game, the Colt 45s, in a spot they're not that familiar with, they're down by one. Here's the 0-2 pitch to Mark Anthony Carroll. Fought off again out of play down the first base side, and the count holds. At no balls and two strikes. Riddell gets a new baseball and rubs it up.
Yeah, and something Riddell has done great so far, although despite the multiple hits he's allowed, is just starting off the count up early.
The 0-2 is hit in the air toward right. The right fielder, Toker giving chase, goes into a dive, loses the baseball. Reyes will come in to score around third. And coming in to score is Rogowski holding at second base his Mark Anthony Carroll. And just like that, with one swing of the bat, the Colt 45s have a one-run lead.
Yeah, just a great hit by Mark Anthony Carroll there, turning that into a double as well. Just a little bit dead space there in short right field, or shallow right field, if you will, or right center, rather. Great effort there by the right fielder. That's Tokar just making a good effort for it, getting all the way down, and it looks like he may have gotten it in his glove, but on the impact on the ground, it pops out or maybe got under it in a little bit. But regardless, two runners will score there, and Mark Anthony Carroll will sit himself in scoring position as well, and that two-out rally is looking good now.
Breaking ball to Mora catches the outside corner for strike one to the left-hand hitter. He homered his last time up. Yeah, as you said, the outfielder in right field, Toker, converging on it. Mora takes a fastball on the outside corner for strike two. Just did the bare minimum of getting in front of it, but I believe he got to the baseball, had it in his glove. He might have picked the short hop. Here's the 0-2. Fouled back just got a piece of it was Mora. Little fight it off swing.
Yeah.
And getting a double out of it was Mark Anthony Carroll.
Yeah, and this is Riddell again, up 0-2 in the count. We have seen this countless times so far, but still just allowing runners to get on base even when up in the count the way they are.
The 0-2 is fouled back toward us, but off the netting. Count holes and no balls and two strikes. With two outs, Colt 45 is now up by a score of 4-3. Runner in scoring position, the 0-2 pitch is hit in the air down the third base side, but foul out of play toward the Colt 45 bullpen.
Moritz doing whatever he can to stay alive here. That's three fouls in a row, all looking like they had a chance to go somewhere, but just not getting the piece on it that he wanted to.
Looks like he's just a little bit off on the pitch he wants, but he's close to absolutely lacing one.
Absolutely.
0-2 pitch with two outs from Riddell is a breaking ball, foul tipped again back toward the on-deck circle of the Athletic Edge Express. And we'll do it again. Mora battling here against Chris Riddell, looking for the punch-out to be done with the inning and get back in the dugout.
Yeah, and with Riddell, now he's thinking about that last home run Andrew Mora hit, just trying not to throw him anything too easy, but Mora swinging at everything here.
Not wanting to pitch him inside. Here's the 0-2 delivery. This is low and in. Ball one, gave him a little bit of a different look there. Threw him some junk. Now Riddell will go for a little walk. That home run by Mora was just an inside off-speed that he turned on and pulled down the line. Hit it a ton. Here's the 1-2. Breaking ball. In on the hands, hit in the air towards center. Coming in to squeeze it is the center fielder, Jelani Mason, for out number three, and the side is retired. The Colt 45s grab two runs and a one-run lead. It's 4-3 after two. You got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift, music, and art galleria in Shasta County. For Cascade Curation, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality and a face-to-face brick-and-mortar experience. Come see for yourself at the Cascade Curation Store at 1740 California Street here in Redding, California, across from Jack's Grill.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We head to the top of the third inning, where your Colt 45s lead the Athletic Edge Express with a score of 4-3 through two innings. Just in this last half inning, we saw Rain McMillan and Trojan Rogowski come around and score, thanks to a Mark Anthony Carroll double to put them back in the lead here. Yet to see a scoreless inning for the Colt 45s, and up to bat is Mason, Summers, and Schaefer here for the Athletic Edge Express here at the top of the third.
Yeah, Jelani Mason, left-hand hitter who flew out to Likens his last time up out there in left field. Step into the box, an even stance. As Medina comes set off the first base side of the rubber, kicks and deals off speed. On the inner half, a call of strike one. No balls and one strike to the left-hand hitter. The 0-1. Breaking ball on the outside corner, called strike two.
And I think it's safe to say, although we're just two innings in, Jacob, a lot more action, a lot more fireworks than last night so far, at least on the offensive side of things here at Tiger Field tonight.
The 0-2 is a breaking ball, misses wide in the dirt. Yeah, Spencer, a lot more baseball left to play. On a wonderful night at the ballpark, after a very hot day, we had a high of 108 today, I believe. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Medina out of the stretch, poked at, hit in the air towards center, Rogowski, playable for him. He'll settle underneath it and squeeze it for out number one. And when it cools off here at the ballpark, it's just a great time coming out with the family or some friends. Grab a Bev, grab some food, and come sit and chill, watch some great baseball. And those burgers here at the Tiger Field Grill, let me tell you, best burger in town, if I do say so myself. It's that Wagyu beef they mix in there, custom made little mix, as JT Summers watches the first pitch ball, low and away. He singled his last time up and then would later come around to score. Here's the 1-0 to the right-hand hitting JT Summers with the wide-open stance. Waved at. Comes up empty. Evens up the count at one ball and one strike.
Yeah, and Summers being a tall guy, he could really reach for anything here, so that strike zone is not exactly where Medina's going to want to throw, but it's regardless where he's going to have to throw.
The 1-1 is laced towards center field. Rogowski moving over toward the gap will squeeze it on the run. A couple of flyouts to the center fielder, Rogowski. And two away here in this top of the third inning. Both hard hit baseballs on a line. Not necessarily routine flyouts. Just a couple of hard hit balls right toward Rogowski.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Jacob, just a couple hits that look pretty flat, rather. Less flyout and more just really good hits out deep, but Rogowski does a great job just getting under him, staying calm, and making the squeeze.
And Lucas Schaefer with that two-run bomb his last time up. Both first basemen tonight for each respective team has a two-run bomb to their name, which is not something that you see through one at-bat. A 1-1 count now on him after he took that pitch for a ball. Medina comes set. McMillan sets up inside the 1-1. Delivery just misses low, breaking ball. Didn't quite catch the corner. For the knee of the right-hand hitting Lucas Schaefer. Now the 2-1. Breaking ball. That one catches the inside corner right at the knee. A called strike two.
That's a great-looking pitch there from Medina getting back in the fight here. Does not want to go down 3-1 against such a deadly hitter.
Now the 2-2 pitch from Medina after a quick breath, misses low for ball three. That will fill the count at three balls and two strikes with two outs. The payoff pitch from Medina is a breaking ball hit on a line shot toward the left fielder. Likens goes into a dive. He's not going to get it. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Schaefer around first, digging for two. He'll cruise into second base with a double. Likens laying out, but just couldn't quite get to it. And it's a stand-up double for Lucas Schaefer.
And like we've seen from those last two at-bats that happened to go right to Rogowski or in his general vicinity, Schaefer, again, just belts one to the outfield. This one really flattened. As you mentioned, Corey Likens giving chase to it makes a great effort, but unfortunately effort doesn't get it all done all the time. Just a great hit from Schaefer. Very, very difficult to defend. He's going to get a double on that one and get right into scoring position here for Boyd.
And for Corey Likens, the ball was also cutting away from him. Breaking ball catches the outside corner right at the knee for a called strike one. Infield shifted a couple of steps to pull on the right-hand hitting Brady Boyd with the socks up high. The Athletic Edge Express with the gray pants and the red tops. The Colt 45's white pants, yellow sleeveless jerseys with those black short sleeves underneath. One ball and one strike to Brady Boyd. With two outs and a runner at second base. That's a tying run over there at second base. 1-1. The outside corner for strike two.
It looks like Medina, although giving up a few hits, as I mentioned, it looks like the Athletic Edge is just earning it, working really hard, and Medina's making him earn it. He's looked pretty good so far tonight.
The 1-2 pitch. Fastball chopped foul at the plate to count at one ball and two strikes. And, yeah, Likens chasing down that baseball. Sensational effort, but just no glove extender on his glove, unfortunately, and just out of his reach. But he did a great job of getting back up and getting to that baseball quick to hold Schaefer with a double. The 1-2 delivery from Medina is a breaking ball. Chopped toward Mondohano at third. Handles it. Now throws across the first. The stretch by Mora is in time for the 5-3 putout. The Athletic Edge Express threatened but they do not score. They leave Schaefer stranded at second base as we head to the bottom of the third here in this 3-2 ball game.
Casey and R. Shasta Redding.
It's sponsored by Cascade Curations, the coolest, cleanest little thrift music and art galleria in Shasta County. For Cascade Curations, it's not just about vibes or trends, it's about timeless quality and a face-to-face brick-and-mortar experience. Come see for yourself at the Cascade Curations store at 1740 California Street across from Jack's Grill. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. We'll be back for more of the ball game right after this message from our sponsor, Cascade Curations.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field. First pitch swing from Dom DeCagno is laced into the left center field gap. It's going to go all the way to the wall, and Dom DeCagno is going to have himself a stand-up double to lead things off here in this bottom of the third inning in a 4-2 ball game.
Yeah, great-looking hit there from DeCagno, as you mentioned, Jacob, just way out in the left center. It's going to make all the fielders give chase to that roughly at the same time, and DeCagno using his speed to get into scoring position right off the rip here in the bottom of the third.
Now the right-hand hitting John Handy to the plate. Duran loses the baseball momentarily, kicks around between his ankles, and taking third base on the heads-up play is Dom DeCagno. Now an additional run for the Colt 45s is only 90 feet away. The catcher, Cam Duran, blocked the baseball right through the five hole, catch it from sneaking through, pounced on it, and then looked around for it, couldn't find it. John Handy was hit by a pitch his last time up. Here's a 1-0. Brushes Handy back off the plate for ball two.
And DeCagno, as we mentioned just now, just doing a great job of just staying active on those bases after a great hit, getting a double off the first pitch and the second pitch, watching Handy make his first attempt at swing, making his way all the way to third. So just in two pitches here in the bottom of the third, we got a runner on third base, just 90 feet from scoring position, as you mentioned.
Now the 2-0 is hit in the air towards center. This will be deep enough to score the run if it's caught. Center fielder giving chase right to the warning track. We'll squeeze it on the run. Quick throw in will not be in time. Handy gives it a ride, but squeezed by Jelani Mason for the out. And DeCagno comes in to score, so a sacrifice fly for Handy.
It's a great job for Mason as well, just all the way back at the warning track. It took a long time for him to get under that one, as that one was just sitting in the air, though, for him. He's able to make the catch and get it all the way back in. Limit the damage for sure, but with a ball like that hit by Handy all the way out to the warning track, DeCagno is going to get the 90 feet regardless.
Now, the right-hand hitting Mondo Hano to the plate. First pitch misses low in the dirt for ball one. So we've now dropped below triple digits here at Tiger Field. And a 1-0 count on Mondo Hano here in this 5-3 ball game. He watches an off-speed miss low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes to Mondo Hano, who struck out swinging his last time up. The 2-0 pitch. It's a ground ball up the middle and through for a base hit beyond the reach of Darren Mallaire, the shortstop. Mondo Hano has his first hit of the night. Some activity out in the bullpen as well for the Athletic Edge Express as Freddie the Bat Boy gets a little recognition from the crowd.
Yeah, and this is just some great offense we've seen. Like I mentioned again, just grown accustomed to seeing here from the Colt 45s. Just some really good offense getting runs on early. That'll be the third inning in a row through the three innings, although this one isn't over, however. Just the third inning in a row, they're scoring runs here. Perfect so far to start the game.
Ham puts a swing on this one. Going into a dive again is the right fielder. Tokar can't hold on to it. And that puts runners at first and second base after it escapes the clutches of Tokar. And Ryan Ham has himself his first hit of the night. Yeah. Looked like Tokar might have gone into a dive just to keep it in front of him, but
yeah, Tokar's got a feel so far. In each and every inning, having to really lay out for one, sitting in shallow right center, just feel like he's getting picked on out there tonight. Not easy plays to make, but ones that could be made, just very difficult for him. He feels like just getting really unlucky so far. Great placement so far from the Colt 45s. Like I mentioned, the offense we have grown accustomed to seeing this season.
Yeah, now Corey Likens due up, who is the only hitter for the Colt 45s tonight to not reach first base in one way or another. Now, this pitch misses inside for ball one to the right-hand hitter, who struck out looking his last time up. Yeah, as you said, Spencer, just looks like out there in right field, Will Tokar is getting picked on a little bit. But part of it, too, is the wind with the right-hand batters and the ball cutting away. Here's a chopper toward the third baseman. Great pick. He's going to go to second the short way, and then the relay to first in time for the 5-4-3. A fantastic play by the third baseman, Brady Boyd, charging in on it, picked it off the infield grass, and then went to second base where the second baseman, Justin Brenton, relayed it to first in time for the Athletic Edge Express to get out of the jam. The Colt 45s threaten, but they only score one. They leave a couple runners aboard. It's 5-3 after three as we head to the fourth. Step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift music and art gallery in Shasta County. For Cascade Curations, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality and a face-to-face brick-and-mortar experience. Cascade Curations is right here with free parking across from Jack's Grill in the Foundry Square on California Street.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
And welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We enter the top of the fourth inning where your Colt 45s lead the Athletic Edge Express with a score of 5-3. Great offensive action so far. Due up for the Athletic Edge Express, we have Tokar, Lucas, and Brinson heading towards the bottom of the lineup here in the top of the fourth, as I mentioned. So far, Medina has made decent work of this side, just allowing a three-run home run in the first inning. Just the fourth batter, that was Schaefer, who's also gotten a double. He's looking very good so far. Well, he will not be due up for a while here as we enter the deep middle of this lineup so far for the Athletic Edge Express. To take you the rest of the way through the inning, here's Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. And yeah, as you said, just Medina making quick work of this lineup. The only blemish on his scorecard really is that home runs, but he has allowed four hits. Hit batter, but he's limited this offense to only three runs, so he's done a solid job tonight. Now Will Tokar to the plate, right-hand hitter facing off against Medina, first pitch swing, fouls it back out of play for strike one here in this top of the fourth inning.
Yeah, what we've seen so far from this Athletic Edge Express offense, as you mentioned, those three runs, but also just getting a few hits on the board as well. Just another nod of the cap to Ty Cook last night, shutting this side out. It looks like a very great offensive team, which reminds me of the Alameda Anchors, which we have seen a couple weeks ago, who had a great series against the Colt 45. Still couldn't quite get it done, but they stole a win from them.
Now the 0-2 from Medina misses in the dirt. Yeah, the Alameda Anchors giving the Colt 45s a run for their money. They had the comeback win in the first game of that three-game weekend series. Just some great baseball played that weekend. A trio of close games. The 1-2 pitch from Medina is fouled back to the screen to keep the count at one ball and two strikes. And Ty Cook last night going the distance, the complete game shutty. in the pitcher's duel against Luke Dillon. Both pitchers having sensational outings, but fortunately for Luke Dillon in this Express Ball Club, came up short. The 1-2 is poked at. Little flare cutting toward foul territory. Mora giving chase all the way back toward the bullpen. Goes into a slide over his shoulder. Can't quite hold on to it. He was chasing that baseball down. Willie Mays style almost made a fantastic play. He had it in the clutches of his glove for a moment or so, but it looked like with that wicked spin, it just ended up spinning out of his glove.
Yeah, and you wonder how much the wind played part in that as well, just kind of moving around as he's giving chase to it, getting under it, and then he's got to move back, forward, left, right. No matter what it is, that wind is definitely playing factor tonight. Probably the most wind as far as the game I've called that I've felt out here so far this season. Nothing crazy, but definitely pulling the ball around a little bit.
Now the 1-2 is chopped toward the shortstop. Carroll handles the hop off the back foot. Throw to first, low, picked by Mora in time for the 6-3 putout. A great job by Mora to handle that one hopper. It was on the rim of the outfield grass over there. And off the back foot, Mark Anthony Carroll reared back and let it rip. Bounced it off the infield grass, and Mora nonchalant over there at first base handled it very cleanly. Yeah, as you said, Spencer, the wind playing a factor for sure. It's probably the most we have seen it play a factor with, and not just pushing one direction, but swirling more so as the right-hand hitting Justin Lucas takes a first pitch ball in the dirt for ball one. That was just a great effort by Andrew Mora as well. The fact that he got that baseball was really incredible as it was cutting away from him through that wind, but also just kind of moving around up there. As this pitch is taken for a fastball right at the knee on the inside corner to even up the count at one ball and one strike.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Jacob, I was just about to mention that as well. The wind so far tonight has really just been moving around, like shifting a lot, shifting the winds, not as so much one way or another. We've had innings where the wind has been pushing the ball out and innings where the wind has been keeping the ball in. So very interesting night here weather-wise.
The 1-2 for Medina backs Lucas off the plate to even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Yeah, with it swirling like that, it's just hard to really adjust to the wind, obviously, because it's constantly changing. The outfield shaded toward left for the right-hand hitter. Here's the 2-2 from Medina as a breaking ball misses inside. And when it's changing like that, which we can feel it from up here in the third base side bleachers where we're at, those flags out there in center field are standing still, but up above us, it's definitely swirling, more so the payoff pitch from Medina. Swing! And a miss for out number two. Got him to chase that pitch down and away. It's the second strikeout for Nathan Medina, the kid out of Madera, California.
Yeah, just great-looking pitch and staying composed with that full count, the payoff pitch. He throws it right down the middle, and Lucas takes a big job at it, but not going to make any contact there. So it'll be the second out of the inning, and as you mentioned, the second strikeout of the night for Medina.
Now the right-hand hitting Justin Brinson to the plate. He was hit by a pitch his last time up. Takes a call to strike one on the inner half. He was stranded over there at second base last inning. Now the 0-1 from Medina working off the first base side of the rubber with the defense shifted to pole. This is in the dirt.
Yeah, the Athletic Edge here would not mind after what they saw last inning, them getting a two-out rally of their own, rather, or excuse me, it was the second inning for the Colt 45s where they put up two more runs in the after having two outs and no one on. They need to get something going here again like they saw in the first inning.
Now the 1-1, fastball in the outside corner, called strike two. Activity out in the bullpen looks to be Aaron DeVanis from Petaluma High and from Santa Rosa Junior College. Here's the 1-1, breaking ball, check swing, didn't go. This is in the dirt. Even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Yeah, the Express here just looking for some sort of offense to get going. Fastball misses inside to fill the count.
Yeah, and it was a good-looking pitch there from Medina. A lot of heat on that one, but looks like it must have just barely missed inside.
Yeah, just missed his location there as McMillan sets up low and in. The payoff pitch with two outs misses low, and taking first base will be Justin Brinson. He's got on board both nights tonight. as he draws a free pass, this time a little bit less painful for him. So the last time he got aboard was via the hit-by-pitch. That'll be the catcher, Cam Duran, for the Athletic Edge Express. Right-hand hitter, slightly open stance. Medina, first pitch swinging now, hit into the left, giving chase as Likens right to the warning track, squeezes it on the run, and aside is retired. The Athletic Edge Express threatened, but they do not score. It's 5-3 after they leave Brenton stranded at first base. As we head to the bottom of the fourth inning for Cascade Curations, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality and a face-to-face brick-and-mortar experience. Cascade Curations is right here, right there, with free parking across from Jack's Grill in the Foundry Square on California Street. Again, that's Cascade Curations at 1740 California Street, right across from Jack's Grill in the Foundry Square.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. McMillan, Rogowski, and Carroll do up. First pitch swing from McMillan, fouls it back out of play for strike one. Here on a Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball in the bottom of the fourth inning. The 0-1 delivery from the righty is hit down the left field line. Just a bit foul. Couldn't quite keep it inside the foul pole. McMillan pulled that baseball down there, but kept hooking left.
Yeah, that ball off the bat and into the net, just foul. Would have been home run distance, it looked like. Probably just 2-3 seconds maybe from off the bat out into the net. Just really line drive, just ripped, and it had distance. It carried a lot of power there from McMillan.
Now the 0-2 misses low and in. Yeah, definitely home run distance. It did get over the wall and off the netting, but 3 or 4 feet to the left of that foul pole. Unfortunately for Rain, McMillan. Now the 1-2 pitch. Ground ball up the middle. The second baseman back behind second base makes a quick throw to first to nab McMillan in time. A great play by Justin Brinson moving over to his right after that ground ball went off the mound and through the pitcher.
Yeah, very interesting hop there. Definitely one of the weirder ones we've seen so far this campaign, or especially tonight. But Brinson doing a great job just making that look easy. It hopped off the front of the mound, as you mentioned, and just went right into his glove. Made a good jump for it and makes the put out at first base to get the inning started off right here for the Athletic Edge, trying to get back in this one.
Almost like a second hop on a chopper as Rogowski takes ball one in the dirt. At the second hop on a chopper that just kicks up high with all that spin. The 1-0, showing Bunnis. Rogowski pulls it back, but breaking ball drops in the zone. Keeping up the count at 1-1, and actually went and played a little fast pitch earlier today. Handled something similar to that, definitely not the same speed, I'll tell you that, as this one catches the inside corner right at the knee to make the count 1-2. And you have to make a quick decision whether you're going to barehand it, throw off the back foot, or quickly glove, show off those quick hands, and get us the 1-2 off the plate outside. giving up the count at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Lucky for me, I was playing on a softball field where everything's downscaled, and was able to barehand it with a softball, kick it first in time. As Rogalski takes a breaking ball on the inside corner at the knees, everyone in the ballpark, including us up here in the booth, thought that was ball three.
Yeah, definitely a questionable call there. Rogalski looked like he had to move out of the way just to avoid being hit by that pitch, or just, you know, avoid any unnecessary damage to himself. And umpire calls him strikeout looking, so that'll be the call here. It'll be 2 outs now.
And Rogalski, in his last 7 plate appearances, counting today and yesterday, he struck out 3 times. All 3 of those times have been looking, which just shows how unfortunate his strike zone's been. Quickly, no balls and 2 strikes now on Mark Anthony Carroll. He's going to step out of the box and pause to regain his thoughts. Now steps back in, taps play with his bat. The 0-2 delivery from Chris Riddell. See, now gets his sign, works off the first base side of the rubber, Wine steals the 0-2, little flaring on the hands back behind the second base, and the second baseman drifting out, a great play by Justin Brinson to retire the side. The Colt 45s go 1-2-3 as we head to the fifth. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations, where it's not just about vibes or trend. It's about timeless quality in a face-to-face brick-and-mortar experience. Cascade Curations is right there with free parking across from Jack's Grill in the Founders Square on California Street.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as we enter the top of the fifth inning. Your home Colt 45s lead the Athletic Edge Express with a score of 5-3. The top of the lineup is who is due up for the Athletic Edge here as they're looking to fight their way back into this one with Darren Millar, Mason, and Summers leading off, and Schaefer in the hole there, batting cleanup after hitting a home run and a double so far in his 2 at-bats. Looking very good so far, and as I mentioned here in the top of the fifth inning, looking just to get their way back into it. What better way to start than in the top of the lineup? Here's Jacob Green to take you the rest of the way.
Thank you, Spencer. And yeah, as you said, Darren Millar, Mason, and Summers due up with Schaefer batting fourth in the inning. Should the line keep moving, Schaefer is 2-for-2 with a home run and a double tonight, so he actually has a chance at doing something that we saw from Dom DeCagno last weekend. 5-3 ball game here in the top of the fifth inning. Darren Millar, right-hand hitter, steps into the box. He's 1-for-2 tonight with a single, a stolen base, and a ground out. It's the first pitch from Medina's. Bounced in there for ball one. Medina has settled in since that first inning. That was a little bit rocky where he gave up 3 runs. But has been cruising since.
Yeah, since then, as you mentioned, just looking really calm, looking energized, to be honest, with how hot it is out here, and obviously the wind playing factor into cooling him down a little bit, but he's looking really good here, just had to get warm a little bit, get a little loose, it seems, as he has really turned this game around for himself.
From Madera and Reedley Call, just he delivers a fastball right down Broadway, even if the count of 1-1. Now deals the 1-1. Fastball, top of the zone again for strike 2. 1-2. He is definitely used to that heat, Central Valley of California. But still, definitely looking a little bit more energized than you would expect here on what was a 108-degree day. And when they were out there warming up, it was sitting right around 105, 106. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Medina. Breaking ball, waved at for the strikeout, got him to chase it down and in.
And there it is again from Medina, just looking like he's getting better and better. Those fastballs were moving. They were humming, looking faster than they were in the first couple innings as well. He looks like he's actually finding his groove. He's less pacey and more just using his endurance to get himself through these innings here.
That was the third strikeout for Medina today. He winds and deals to the left-hand hitting Mason as this one's fouled off out of play. Jelani Mason, the left-hand hitter, now working an 0-1 count. Yo, one fastball in the outside corner for strike two, and there's that fastball you were talking about, Spencer, just a heater that he's just able to pinpoint every single time. Now the 0-2 from Medina as he comes set off the first base side of the rubber. Breaking ball poked at. Mondohano charging on the infield grass gloves. Throws the first to stretch by Mora in time. Mondohano and Mora flashing the leather. That corner infield duo has been so solid for this Colt 45's pitching staff and defense as a whole.
Yeah, incredible there from Mondohano. That ball was barely moving, and actually, Mason does a great job getting a jump on that hit there. A little grippler out through towards the third base line, and Mondohano has to play chase to as Mason's hauling all the way to first base, but he scoops that and makes a quick grab, and Morris makes the squeeze for an out on a really close play there.
Now JT Summers watches an off-speed pitch miss the corner of the zone for ball one. He's 1-for-2 on the night. He singled his first time up and then flew out to the center fielder Rogowski. Yeah, Mondohano with that ball, dying on the infield grass. Charged it, gloved it with both hands, and then the off-balance throw sidearm to the first base, and Mora with the large stretch over there at first, and got the runner, the hitter rather, Jelani Mason, who is a left-handed hitter, by the way, so he's a little bit closer to first base by about half a step. Now the 2-0 from Nathan Medina working off the first base side. A line shot toward center field, Rogowski moving over toward the gap will squeeze it on the run. Summers lines out for out number three. Athletic Edge Express go 1-2-3. We're halfway through our ball game tonight after 4.5. It's the Colt 45's 5 and the Athletic Edge Express 3. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Reading's best when it comes to local art, music instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations, art, music, and fashion store, unlike anywhere else in the North State. Go by and see for yourself today, Cascade Curations, with free parking across from Jack's Grill in the Founders Square at 1740 California Street, here in Reading, California.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curations store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field here in Redding, California. Andrew Mora leading things off in that left-hand batter's box. Takes a first pitch fastball off the plate outside for ball one. He's 1-for-2 with that two-run shot back in the first inning. This one's bounced in there by Chris Riddell for ball two. And what's definitely cooled off now with the smoky clouds off in the distance, turning a bluish purple as the sun begins its full descent back behind us on a picturesque night here from Tagger Field. Now, the 2-0 misses low and away for ball three. For Andrew Mora on the year, he has a total of 26 walks coming into this game. 1 is chased out of zone. Keeping up the count at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now Mora digs back in. The 2-2 misses low and away to fill the count at 3 balls and 2 strikes. He also has 31 RBIs on the year after that 2-run shot back in the first inning. Payoff pitch off the plate outside, and Mora works himself another free pass on the year.
Yeah, and something, as you mentioned, Jacob, we have just seen all season from Andrew Mora just playing the long game, playing the waiting game. If he has to, he'll be down 0-2 in a count, and he still won't be swinging anything he thinks is the ball. Very patient player, and but when he does swing, he gets after it, as we saw there in the first inning, and now he's got a free trip to first base, as you mentioned, and head to the plate is Don DeCanio here, looking to do some damage after he got a double in the third inning as well.
Now we're going to get a pitching change. Chris Riddell's night is done after the walk issued to Andrew Mora. The Athletic Edge Express out of Petaluma is trying to stay in this ballgame. They'll bring on a new arm to face off against this Colt 45 lineup. Looks like it's going to be number 12 for the Athletic Edge Express, Aaron DeVanis. And when we return after this, here in the bottom of the fifth inning, it's a 5-3 ball game. It will be Dom DeCanio facing off against the new relief pitcher for the Athletic Edge Express, Aaron DeVanis. When we return after this message from our sponsor tonight, Cascade Curations.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? Got to step into the Cascade Curations store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, where the score remains here in the bottom of the fifth. Colt 45's 5, Athletic Edge Express 3, with up to DeCanio with Andrew Mora on first base, and the new relief pitcher in will be Aaron DeVanis here for the Athletic Edge. Making his first pitch to take you the rest of the way through the fifth inning is Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. The Athletic Edge at double play. That's DeCanio, first pitch swing on this one. Fouled back toward the screen. The catcher, Duran, giving chase right up to the screen, off the chest protector, and squeezes it with his bare hand. A sensational play from Cam Duran. Somehow that ball not bouncing off the netting. He tipped it with his glove hand. It went off the chest protector, bounced back up into the air, and as he fell to the ground, squeezed it with his bare hand. And somehow, Mora, not believing that he was going to catch it, just stayed at first thinking that it was going to be a dead ball. A fantastic play from the backstop, Cam Duran.
Yeah, truly incredible. Even the Colt 45 fans here in the stadium with a great reaction had to tip their cap here to the catcher, would be Duran. Just, as you mentioned, just bobbled it all around, ends up barehanding it without letting that ball touch the net. Absolutely impressive.
Now this one's a chopper toward the second baseman. Love splits to second for one. The relay by the shortstop to first, not in time, and also not picked by the first baseman, Schaefer. A glove flip from Brinson, and then the turn from Darren Miller was not in time. 4-6 putout erases the lead runner, Andrew Mora. But Andy aboard on the fielder's choice.
Yeah, and cannot complain at all there from Athletic Edge after the situation they were just had. Obviously, Andrew Mora, who is a little bit more dangerous on the base side, argued than John Handy as well, with no outs. And now Handy and Morris switch places essentially, and there's still now two outs down, so nothing, can't complain too much in a great start here for DeVanis.
And now that run will not be charged to tonight's starting pitcher Chris Riddell, because Mora was erased. That was Riddell's runner. A 1-0 count on Mondujano. So great job by the pen for the Athletic Express coming out as DeVanis trying to get out of this inning. There's two outs. Here's a 1-0 as a chopper toward the shortstop, Darren Miller. He's going to go the short way to second base to get the 6-4 put out. And the side is retired. The Colt 45s threaten, but they fail to score here in the bottom half as we head to the sixth inning here in a 5-3 ball game. The Colt 45s up by 2. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Reading's best when it comes to local art, music instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations art, music, and fashion store, unlike anywhere else in the North State. Go by and see this place for yourself at 1740 California Street across from Jack's Grill in the Founder Square.
Looking for fun for your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field here in Redding, California. Looks like it's going to be Colton Sewell on in relief of Mr. Nathan Medina, who goes five innings, qualifying for the win. A solid outing from Nathan Medina. He leaves with a 5-3 lead for Colton Sewell. He's 2-0 with a 2.11 ERA in 6 games. He's got a save and 17 innings underneath his belt with 26 strikeouts. Colton Sewell out of Bandon, Oregon, and playing at Feather River College, standing at 6'2", 220 with a funky delivery off that first base side of the rubber. He concludes his warm-up tosses. Now it will be Lucas Schaefer, Brady Boyd, and Will Toker to the plate here in this top of the sixth inning.
Yeah, and we have yet to see any offense so far here from the Athletic Edge other than that first inning three-run shot from Schaefer. Obviously more than we saw last night after the shutout. Credit to Ty Cook, at the hands of Ty Cook, rather. But with a new pitcher, maybe the Athletic Edge will have more luck, and they are still right in this game, just 5-3, as mentioned, as no runs in the past two innings, we head to the top of the sixth.
Now the first pitch from Sewell. This is low and away for ball one to Lucas Schaefer, who, as you said, Spencer, 2-for-2 on the night with that two-run shot back in the first. Sewell with the unconventional delivery. The righty working off the first base side of the rubber kicks and deals the sidewinding delivery. Not a submariner, but a little bit of a sidewind look. Misses wide again for ball two.
Yeah, Sewell just trying to get his feet wet here, just get comfortable with the conditions of the field here, and just get started off on the right foot. Definitely slow start so far.
Swing and a miss to get strike one. Now a 2-1 count on the right-hand hitter. He did have a messy outing back against the Alameda Anchors on June 28th, where he gave up 3 earned runs in 2 innings. This one's fouled back out of play toward the parking lot to make the count 2 balls and 2 strikes.
That foul ball brought to you by North State Security.
He allowed 2 hits and 2 walks in that outing. In a game that the Colt 45s would win by a score of 7-6. The 2-2 off plate way outside for ball three.
Yeah, and that game on the 28th, as you mentioned, Jacob against the Anchors, just one of my favorites, I'd have to say. Probably my favorite on the campaign so far. Just a really great shootout of a game, back and forth all the way through. Just love watching that game go the distance.
Tied him up inside, foul tip into the glove of McMillan, who holds on. That's the first K for Colton Sewell, and the first batter is retired. And that was in a game that the Colt 45s put 5 on the board in the bottom of the 5th, and they would prevail by a score of 7-6. Definitely one of my favorite games I've called, with a very back-and-forth shootout, as you said. Now Brady Boyd to the plate, who's struck out and grounded out to the third baseman tonight. Sewell comes set off the first base side, winds and deals to the right-hand hitter. There was a fastball in the outer half, a called strike one. Yeah. 0-1 to the right-hand hitter. Sewell bending at the belt, now comes set. Right-hand hitter Boyd with the socks up high, waves at a breaking ball for strike two. Got him to chase that one. That was going away from the batter. Now in an 0-2 hole is Brady Boyd. Wide open stance, the 0-2 pitch, fastball just misses a bit up and away.
Sewell now, after those first two pitches, looking a little rocky, looking like he's found his comfort zone here early, which is good, getting that strikeout on Schaefer and now working on it with Boyd as well. Just looking very comfortable, looking like he's ready to do some damage.
Now the 1-2, winged at again on cue. That's strikeout number 2. And Sewell with that little Johnny Cueto-like hesitation as he rocks back and gets set to deliver, just throws off those hitters, especially with that funky sidewinding delivery. Now will be the right-hand hitting Will Toker to the plate, who's lined out and grounded out tonight.
Right fielder number 15, Will Toker.
Controlling right field tonight. Couple of Ks in the inning for Sewell. First pitch to Toker. Catches the inside corner at the knee. It's called strike one. Sewell, glove tucked up by his hip as he leans forward, ball dangling with his throwing arm. Now comes set, working off the first base side of the rubber. The 0-1 misses wide. Evens the count at 1-1. The outfield is shaded a couple of steps toward left. As the lights have started to take full effect here at Tiger Field, the 1-1 delivery from Sewell. This is low and away for ball two.
And as you mentioned, Jacob, the lights now taking effect, and honestly a very beautiful night here at Redding, California at Tiger Field, without the swirling surrounding smoke, but that is something we have grown accustomed to, us Redding natives and people that have lived here for a while. You just get used to the smoke at some point, so rather a very gorgeous night here in Redding, California.
2-1 misses wide for ball three, and yeah, definitely not too smoky. The air quality is still good, but the smoke around us from the green fire up northeast of Shasta Lake, up that pit arm, just providing a little bit of a different atmosphere. The 3-1 delivery from Sewell to chopper toward the second baseman and through for a base hit, a weird hop, and unable to handle it was the second baseman, Ryan Hamm. He was waiting back on it, and just ended up sneaking through him. Now the ball escapes Sewell, thinking about trying for two was Will Toker, but he stays stationary at first base on the E4 from Ryan Hand. I'll bring up Justin Lucas, the left fielder, who's 0-2 tonight. Just a really weird hop there on that chopper. Just a couple of weird skips and kind of handcuffed Ryan Hamm. This off-speed misses up and away for ball one.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a weird hop there, but regardless, Ryan Hamm knows, I think he knows himself, so definitely one he's accustomed to grabbing there. He's used to grabbing. Definitely going to be kicking himself for that one, but hopefully he can make it up here soon.
With two outs in the inning, you don't want to give any sort of breathing room, especially in a 5-3 ball game where you're only up by two. But, yeah, what looked like to be a routine ground ball in the third out of the inning, now there's a runner at first and the tying run at the plate here in this top of the sixth inning of a 5-3 ball game. Sewell working out of the stretch, checks the runner at first, being held on by Mora. Comes set, kicks and deals the 2-0. Misses wide for ball three.
Now this is where you see the Colt 45 starting to play with fire. Just that one mistake, as you mentioned, could just lead into a whole two-out rally here. Now 3-0 in the count in favor of the Athletic Edge here.
You don't want a snowball effect. The 3-0 catches the bottom of the zone right at the knee for a called strike one. Three balls and one strike.
Yeah, that's great showing confidence there from Sewell, just throwing what he knows best despite the circumstances there, having to get one in the strike zone.
Now the 3-1. Laying off of it, and that's going to be a walk for Lucas. It was a fastball just off the plate outside. That is the first walk issued by Colt Sewell here in this top of sixth inning.
First and second baseman, number four, Justice Brinson.
Now, Justice Brinson to the plate, who has reached on a hit-by-pitch and reached on a walk tonight. First pitch from Sewell, swing and a miss for strike one. Got him to chase a fastball a little bit upstairs and away. Justice Brinson at second base tonight for the Athletic Edge Express.
And if you're Sewell here, you're just wanting to get out of this inning. He's obviously got the two strikeouts, but now he's got two batters on base. Not necessarily his fault on that first one with the error, but the walk as well. And now you got the leading run here up to plate. So he's just trying to get out of this. It's all or nothing kind of at bat here for Brinson and for Sewell to defend.
Yeah, the go-ahead run at the plate is just never a spot you want to be in the sixth inning or anywhere late in the ball game here after we're over halfway through our ball game tonight. Now a 1-1 count after that next pitch missed low and in. Sewell bending at the belt, goes through the signs with Rain McMillan, now comes set off the first base side of the rubber. The 1-1 delivery with the infield playing behind the runners is a chopper toward the second baseman, Ham, with a chance to redeem himself, flips the first in time for the 4-3 put out. The Athletic Edge Express threaten, but they do not score. They strand a pair as we head to the bottom of the sixth inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Redick's best when it comes to local art, music instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations art, music, and fashion store unlike anywhere else in the North State. Go by and see this place for yourself at 1740 California Street across from Jack's Grill.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us here on a wonderful Saturday night edition of Colt 45's baseball, facing off against the Athletic Edge Express out of Petaluma, California. Ham, Likens, and McMillan do up for the Colt 45's here at Tiger Field as the lights have taken full effect in this 5-3 ball game. It's going to be Aaron Devanis facing off against these Colt 45s in his first full inning of work after he got the last outs of the previous inning after Chris Riddell was taken out of the ballgame after the leadoff walk to Andrew Mora. Now the first pitch from the righty, huge cut and miss by Ham for strike one. Now the 0-1. So, ball laced into right center field for a base hit. Over to cut it off as the right fielder. It's going to skip past him with a center fielder. Mason quickly plays it back, but Pam laces a double, able to beat the throw. It snuck through the right fielder, Toker, again. He's had a rough night out there patrolling right field.
Yeah, great looking hit there from him. Again, just that weird area where Toker's got to go in for it and against the wind, obviously, with how the wind has been blowing. Obviously, a little bit softer here so far heading into the bottom of the sixth. The wind has kind of died down a little bit. But a spot we have seen Toker just in a very unfortunate position, and Ryan Ham's going to take advantage of that. Great placement, as mentioned before, from these Colt 45s.
Now the 0-1, fastball right at the belt on the outside corner for strike one. Likens 0-2. He is the only Colt 45 to not touch first base tonight. Here's the 0-1 as Venus checks the runner back. It's grounded toward the second baseman, Brinson, who handles it, flips to first base in time for the 4-3 put out, but Ham moves over to third base. That's out number one.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, just a little bit of an unfortunate night here so far from Corey Likens. Getting some batters moved or some runners moving down the bases, making their way around, looking to get across, but hasn't himself gotten onto the base and had a chance to do some damage himself.
Likens, as you said, moving the runner over, puts him 90 feet away for Rain McMillan, who is singled and grounded out tonight. First pitch hit in the air toward right. Tokar giving chase. Will be underneath it playable. Now the throw in from Tokar on a line. Coming in to tag in time easily with a courtesy runner, Adam Reyes. My apologies. Ryan Ham comes in to score after McMillan gets the fly out. Sacrifice fly to the right fielder, Tokar. It's now 6-3. For the top of the order, in Trajan Rogowski.
Yeah, great heads-up running there from Ryan Ham, and it's a good throw out there from Tokar, making it all the way in, but it's just no chance. Again, with 90 feet to go, and Ryan Ham very active on the bases. And now we got the top lineup here with one out down, already a run across. Looking good here for the Colt 45s.
And it was cutting away from him as Rogowski takes his first pitch inside for ball one. It was cutting away from him toward the right field foul line. He was able to get around it and then charge in on it after getting behind the baseball, crow hop, and make a strong throw on a hop to the catcher Cam Duran, but it just wasn't in time to nab the speedy Ryan Ham.
Yeah, and that's not even mentioning as deep as that ball was hit there, you'd assume Rain McMillan would be guaranteed with the runner on third there to get a sacrifice fly and get an RBI off that.
Yeah, pretty much a very high fly ball. This one's grounded toward the second baseman. Quick throw to first base. In time, Rogowski upset with the call. He's been rather aggravated with all of the umpires tonight. He's retired 4-3, and that's the way the inning ends. He motioned safe as he crossed the first base bag, but fortunately the side is retired. But the Colt 45s get one. They're up by a score of 6-3 as we head to the 7th. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Reading's best when it comes to local art, musical instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations Art, Music, and Fashion is a store unlike anywhere else in the North State.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curations store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as we enter the top of the 7th inning. Your Colt 45s lead the Athletic Edge with a score of 6-3. Tacking on that run in the bottom of the 6th was Ryan Ham after a double, and then three outs straight up from there to four batters up, one scores, and three are retired. So here, heading into the top of the seventh, the Athletic Edge are scoreless in the last five innings. Just a three-run shot from Schaefer at the very top of the first. As we head into the top of the seventh here, Duran is up, and then the top of the lineup with Darren Millay and Mason. Here, take you the rest of the way. Here is Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. Yeah, Duran, Darren Millay, and then Mason do up for this Athletic Edge Express here in the second game of a two-game series before we face off against the Chico Nuts tomorrow night. And for the Athletic Edge Express, just that lone three runs in the first inning was all they've gotten. From there, it's been nothing but goose eggs. What is now a 6-3 ball game after the Colt 45s tacked one more on in the bottom half of the sixth as Duran takes a called strike one. Now Sewell, there's a fastball check swing, strike two, doesn't matter, right through the zone for called strike two.
And as you mentioned, as we both mentioned, scoreless here other than that first inning so far from, as this one is fouled back from Duran, keep the count at 0-2. Scoreless so far here for since the first inning for the Athletic Edge, but they are still right there, just a three-run deficit, and they still got nine outs to work with. So not time to panic, but definitely time to get something going.
Now the 0-2 pitch from Sewell is hit in the air towards center. Rogowski on the move, playable for him. He'll make his way over and squeeze it for out number one.
Great contact there from Duran, but Rogowski, he's kind of just had them hit right at him, or nothing to take away the effort he's put in. He's made great grabs, no mistakes, anything like that, just doing his job. But a little bit unlucky here from the Athletic Edge. We've seen the Colt 45 so far hitting the ball really well into open space, into open grass in the outfield. Kind of the opposite for the Athletic Edge, just hitting right at the fielders, unfortunately.
Yeah, apart from that three-run shot, that's really the only baseball Rogowski has not been able to get to, and that was only because it was over the fence. Now the top of the order in K's Darren Millay, the shortstop to the plate, who is 1-for-3 with a single and a stolen base. First pitch from Sewell is a line shot toward Mondohano. He moves to his right and squeezes that one easily. That's why they call it the hot corner, folks. A liner right to his right on the backhand, and that is quickly out number two.
And again, as I just mentioned, being pretty good at calling him tonight so far, just right at Mondohano. A good-looking contact, good hit from the top of the lineup, with Darren Millay. And he's just going to, unfortunately, hit it right at Mondohano, who makes a nice squeeze for out number two here.
Now the first pitch from Sewell to the left-hand inning. Mason is a ground ball toward Mondohano, gobbled up and throws it across for the 5-3 putout. 1-2-3 go the Athletic Edge Express. It's time to stretch here at Tiger Field in California. The Colt 45 lead by a score of 6-2-3. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Creations. Cascade Creations exists to be Reading's best when it comes to local art, musical instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Creations Art, Music, and Fashion is a store unlike anywhere else in the North State.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Now, this
This is Carl Bott.
And Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
ATNR Shasta Redding.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. We're online at KCNR1460.com. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Spencer Schlange, the voices of the Redding Colt 45s. It's great to have you with us here on a Saturday night edition of Colt 45s baseball. The first pitch to Mark Anthony Carroll, called ball, missed up and in for the 1-0 count to the right-hand hitter. Here's the 1-0 from the righty Aaron Devanis. As a line shot toward the shortstop, Darren Millar handles a weird hop, throws to first in time for the 6-3 put out. Great play by Darren Millar over there at shortstop, who handled the hot ground ball to retire Mark Anthony Carroll. Now it will be Andrew Mora to the plate, who's walked, flown out, and had that two-run homer tonight back in the first inning. It's the first pitch from the righty Devanis to Andrew Mora. Misses, catches the outside corner right at the knee, a called strike one. You fooled me on that pitch, Spencer.
Yeah, and we haven't seen, just going to mention, we have not seen Andrew Mora a lot this season, this campaign. We have seen him hit opposite end towards left field, and tonight we have not seen that yet, but you wonder if that will be coming here, as this one's going to be collected again by Dan Millar, and it's going to be another 6-3 putout for out number two. Just a little grippler right past the pitcher there. It'll be right past Devanis, and it's going to make its way to Dan Millar. Yet again, he'll make that put out for the second out here in the inning.
Great job by Darren Millar, ranging to his left as Freddie the Bat Boy gets another wave and applause for appreciation from the fans here at Tiger Field. Dom DeCogno now up. That was just a great job by Darren Millar, back of the second base bag. A little shuffle to the left and then through as he was moving toward the right field side of the second base bag. And another great stretch by the first baseman over there, Lucas Schaefer. Dom DeCogno, first base swing on this one, chopped foul down the third base side for strike one. He had a double back in the third inning, but other than that, he has grounded out and popped out.
And that last one, a little unlucky from him, Dom DeCogno. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was the one where catcher Duren got all the way to the net, bobbled it, and was able to bare hand that off the net after a foul ball. Or no contact on the net, obviously, but able to make that snag. So a little bit unlucky from Dom DeCogno, but again, that double is what his highlight of the night so far. See if he can match that or bring some more offense to this Colt 45s.
Now DeCogno takes this next pitch outside, to even up the count at one ball and one strike. Devanis now at the ground ball toward the second baseman, moving to his left and shallow right field, is going to ricochet off the pitcher taking first base. And then ricochets off of Dom DeCogno up the first baseline. He's going to be safe by a mile. Yes. Great job by the second baseman, Brinson, ranging over far to his left back behind the first baseman to get to the baseball. But an infield single for DeCogno.
Yeah, I was just about to mention, just a great job, DeCogno, putting in that into dead space, as we mentioned before, with Colt 45s, just hitting pretty much exactly where they should, exactly away from the athletic edge, and athletic edge a little bit of the opposite, which very possibly difference between the score right now with the three runs lead that the Colt 45s hold right now.
Now, handy up as he takes a first pitch ball up and away.
And, yeah, for this Colt 45's offense, they've just been able to hit the ball not necessarily hard or on the screws, but just in between fielders, whereas the Athletic Edge Express has had the opposite problem. They've been hitting the ball hard, but it's been right at the Colt 45's as Handy takes another ball for ball two. And under dark skies now, again, with the lights taking full effect and with this smoky air, you can see almost a fog-like effect, which is pretty cool out here at the ballpark. Very nostalgic for me, as it reminds me of back home in the Bay Area. As this one's fouled back toward the cars out there in the parking lot for strike one. And, of course, this team from Petaluma, something they definitely know about, is that marine layer in the Bay Area. Now the 2-1 off the first base side of the rubber from Venus. Fastball just misses. Makes it out 3-1. I hope that baseball didn't hit either of our cars parked out over there.
Yeah, definitely could have been close for sure.
Both of us being seasoned veterans at this point, nowhere to park. But sometimes you get a little unlucky. I did actually, I believe it was last weekend. Here's the 3-1. Fouled back again out of play. Toward right where I don't park on purpose for strike two. Learned that last season, not because I got anything broke, but after a couple of games, I realized it was a pretty...
It's a hot zone for sure.
Yeah, a little definitely hot spot out there.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, Jacob, the smoke definitely not exciting or enjoyable in the slightest, but it does make for some pretty cool effects when the lights take full effect here at Tiger Field. The night sky is kind of shaded a little bit from that smoke, as this one's pulled to right field from Handy. It'll go foul again, and we will take the payout pitch once more. Yeah, just a little bit of purple skies, like dark gray, a little purple. It looks pretty cool.
Almost apocalyptic in a sense, which for all those baseball fans tuning in right now, when the fires were happening back in 2020 and 2021, there was a lot of games played at Oracle Park. I believe then it was AT&T, and then, of course, the Oakland Coliseum. Here's the payoff pitch with two outs. Swing! And a miss. The side is retired. The Colt 45s threaten, but they leave DeCagno over there at first base as we head to the eighth inning here in this 6-3 ball game. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Redding's best when it comes to local art, musical instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations, art, music, and fashion is a store unlike anywhere else in the North State. They're located across from Jack's Grill in Redding, California.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Summers, Schaefer, and Boyd do up for the Athletic Edge Express. And as I was saying before we cut to break, the apocalyptic, nearly apocalyptic-like stage we have set before us tonight with the smoky air around us. Just a little bit of the marine layer effect with the lights and everything. But just a very cool atmosphere. Nothing like when Oracle Park and the Oakland Coliseum back in the Bay Area during those fires back in 2020, where it was orange darkness even during the day. This first pitch swinging hit toward right field. DeCagno giving chase to the track in front of the KCNR sign. We'll squeeze it on the run for out number one of the inning.
And that's a great job there by DeCagno, just getting under that one. That looked like it was going to go. It had the chance to go. And if we had the wind we had maybe in the first couple innings, or in the first half of the game, rather, probably could have gone, most definitely. But DeCagno makes a good job making that catch right at the warning track. And as you mentioned, just giving that little that little KCNR sign out there, a little tap.
Giving us a little shout out. And this one's hit in the air toward left, cutting foul toward the Colt 45 bullpen, where the left fielder Corey Likens, way in the bullpen, actually overran the baseball. Speaking of foul balls, as well in the parking lot, I actually, last weekend I think it was, picked up a baseball that rolled right by my car, which is pretty cool, so now I got a baseball. Also, a special thanks to the security guard at North State Security, who gave me a baseball last week that I had my dad sign. We both signed that baseball. Here's the 0-1, Mrs. Lowe. So now I got a little souvenir for one of the two games that I called with my dad, which is pretty cool. Foul ball that the security guard recovered in the parking lot. The 1-1 delivery with one out. Misses wide for ball two. That ball that just rolled to my car, I kept an eye on it when it bounced, and I thought maybe someone else would have picked it up if they found it. But apparently no one found it, and I got a free souvenir. Here's a 2-1. Misses wide for ball three. Colton Sewell still on in relief of Nathan Medina. This one's hit in the air toward left. Looking up, he will watch it fly as the left fielder, Corey Likens. That one got out in a hurry. The second home run of the night for Lucas Schaefer. It was a line shot. Almost got it over the netting.
Yeah, and win or lose this game, I think it's safe to say that Schaefer has won himself the player of the game with two home runs and a double with just that one strikeout. Looking great, honestly, and that's just a great hit, as you mentioned. Had the distance to go way beyond, but the net catching it, doing a good job there, doing it, playing its role, of course. And the Athletic Edge Express get their first run in 7 innings, and they are right back into this game, just trailing 2 now.
And also, Sewell delivers a fastball off the plate outside to Brady Boyes. My apologies. Mason Cox, who was last night's catcher, pinch hitting. Here's the 1-0 from Sewell. That one catches the bottom of the zone right at the knee, even up to count at 1 ball and 1 strike. Nathan Medina went 5 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, all 3 earned with 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, and a hit batter. He had a solid outing and qualifies for the win. The 1-0 is fouled back to the screen. The 1-1, rather, is fouled back to the screen to make the count 1 ball and 2 strikes to Mason Cox. Mason Cox, last night, grounded out a couple of times and struck out looking. Here's the 1-2 from Sewell. It's a breaking ball on the inside corner, and Mason Cox motioning that it hit him, went off of his pad, but the umpire rings him up on strikes. That is out number 2. Mason Cox is very upset with that call, but he makes his way back to the dugout.
Yeah, definitely another close call here. The umpire, I do not envy his situation right now. He's had a couple close calls and just people bickering and arguing and debating his calls, but regardless, he's got the best look.
Now Kalen Clemens to the plate, another pinch hitter. Takes a ball off the plate. Yeah, just not a fun spot to be in. Rogowski, another player, upset with the umpires tonight. A couple of Athletic Edge players as Sewell delivers a fastball in the inner half right at the belt for a called strike 1. So you're going to count 1 ball and 1 strike here in this 6-4 bottom of the 8th inning. The Colt 45's up by 2. Sewell delivers a off-speed off the plate outside for ball 2. And I think part of it, too, is Athletic Edge Express still upset about last night where that home run by Dylan Green should have been called a ground rule double from their side of things. But nonetheless, 2-1, fouled back to the screen. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Nonetheless, the umpires get the final say, whether you agree or not.
Yeah, and Colton Sewell's job here as the pitcher for the Colt 45s here in the bottom of the 8th, just 4 outs remaining, just trying to get the job done. He wants to get out of this inning without any more damage being done after that early home run shot from Schaefer here earlier in the inning. Now he's just trying to get out of this one and let his defense play, or let his offense get to work.
And the 2-2 pitch swing and the miss. That is another K for Mr. Sewell, and the side is retired. That's his fourth one of the night. As we head to the bottom of the eighth inning, the Colt 45's up by a score of 6-4. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Reading's best when it comes to local art, musical instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations, art, music, and fashion. It's more than, it's a store unlike anywhere else in the North State, located on California Street across from Jack's Grill.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. I'm Spencer Slingy, joined by Jacob Green, as we head into the bottom of the eighth inning here on this Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball. The Colt 45's looking to tag on their 25th win of the night, just 3 outs away, but some offense coming for them first, hopefully, as they lead this game 6-4. Up to the plate comes Manu Hano, followed by Ryan Hamm and Corey Likens.
Thank you, Spencer. Yeah, Manu Hano, Hamm, and Likens. Do you up for the Colt 45s looking to get some more insurance runs before we head to the ninth? Mondo Hano has singled, struck out looking, and grounded out tonight. He'll step into the box from that right side in a 93-degree bottom of the eighth inning of a 6-4 ball game after the home run from Schaefer. First pitch swinging as a ground ball toward the second baseman who handled the tough hop, bobbled, now throws the first. And picked not quite cleanly at first base by Mason Cox. He almost handled it in time. Mondo Hano will be safe first on the E4 from the second baseman, Justice Brinson. It was a weird, very fast ground ball on a couple of hops. Tried to pick it, bobbled it momentarily, kicked around between his heels, and then made a quick throw to first where Mason Cox was unable to pick it.
Yeah, rather unfortunate there from Brinson, as you mentioned. He's actually had a very good night defensively and offensively just buying his pitch. Just his first little mistake of the night, and it might be a big one that could cost the Athletic Edge here a chance to get back in this one.
Now Ryan Hamm to the plate. He doubled his last time up. He's also singled and struck out tonight. He's 2-for-3. First pitch from DeVenus. Misses low for ball one. Sam taps the plate with his bat, now readies. Wide open stance, deep in the box. DeVenus comes set out of the stretch from the first base side. Mondo Hano being held on by Mason Cox. Fastball misses upstairs for ball two. DeVenus peering in. Matt Duran now comes set. Checks the runner back at first, kicks and deals a 2-0. Is popped up, back toward the screen. Duran giving a look, but out of play. Actually, Cameron's back toward the crowd. Two balls and one strike now.
I think Ryan Hamm just buying his pitch here. He doesn't want to hit into a double play here for sure. Just trying to play it safe. Just keep the runners and keep the lineup moving and keep runners advancing. Adding some insurance runs here in the bottom of the eighth.
Especially with nobody out. And just a chance to get some insurance back. We have a lot of time left. This pitch misses low for ball three. It's now 3-1. To the right end hitting Ryan Hamm, who again is 2-for-3 tonight. Now the delivery from Venus.
foul tips. Back to the screen to make the count 3 balls and 2 strikes. Way to hold on there from Ryan Hamm. Just got a piece of it. Looked like it was going to be close on the top of the zone. Fouled it off. Back to the screen.
And Aaron Devanis, the pitcher for the Athletic Edge right now, has looked pretty solid so far, actually, on the night. Just allowing that one run since his appearance in the fifth inning. But still got a little work to do here in the bottom of the eighth here with no outs down, a runner on.
Now the payoff pitch on the inside corner. Ring him up. Strike 3 called. Ryan Hamm couldn't believe it. He had dropped his bat ready to take first base on the walk. That is out number 1 of the inning. And also tonight in the third base club VIP pavilion, we have Cal Portland's Reading Cement Plant. The Reading Cement Plant has been in operation since 1968. Cal Portland has been operating since 1891 and believes in supporting each of the communities they operate in throughout 6 western states. Here's a couple of fun facts. Cement is the key ingredient of concrete, which is the second most used substance in the world after water. That's how essential cement is. Also, locally, Cal Portland Cement is being used in projects at none other than Simpson University, Wind River Casino, and the new Sierra Pacific Regional Cancer Center being built, which Simpson University, of course, where you're currently attending, Spencer, and then where I can now call my alma mater.
Yeah, absolutely, Jacob. Some great things coming to the university here soon. Just continuing to expand, continuing to put Reading on the map in the university area, and just really excited.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to do, and now calling baseball games as this pitch is taken up and away for ball 2. Now a 2-1 count on the right-hand hitting Corey Likens. Here's the 2-1 delivery with one out. It's a breaking ball grounded toward the 5-6 hole. The shortstop's going to recover it, but not going to be able to make a play on it. He's going to have to eat it, and everybody's going to be safe.
Yeah, again, just a great spot there from Corey Likens, right between the shortstop who's playing a little bit close to the second, trying to turn a double play, and then third baseman who's a couple steps towards the third base line, just trying to find a basically shelter the field and cover the field that the Colt 45s have been hitting. But, of course, he hits it right where shortstop would typically be and is able to squeak through just a little grippler.
Yeah, and for the Athletic Edge Express, just unfortunate, but thankfully able to, you know, still get to the baseball. Lucas Schaefer moving to his left. It was out of his reach. This one's laced into center field. Playable for the center fielder, Mason, who gets underneath it easily and relays it back in to hold the runners at first and second base.
Yeah, and it's a great-looking swing there by Rain McMillan. All the way under the center fielder, but center fielder does a great job getting under it. That is Mason, gets under it, makes the grab, and able to keep any runners from advancing as well, just getting that ball back in the infield as quick as he can.
Now Trajan Rogowski in the top of the order with runners at first and second and 2 outs now.
Rogowski has come around, scored twice off of an error and a single, but last 2 ups has not had as good of luck with some controversial calls from both the first base umpire and the umpire behind the plate.
An unfortunate series of events these last couple of games for Trajan Rogowski. And also on a Likens infield single, the shortstop, Darren Molaire, with no play on it, just perfectly placed ball by Likens. And this one skips back to the backstop, and both runners are going to advance easily without a throw. That puts runners at second and third. And infield single by Likens again through the 5-6 hole. It's just a slow roller that you can't charge because of the angle it's at and where it was perfectly placed between the third baseman and shortstop. So you have to just wait for it. But with the speedy Likens, he was able to easily get to first base safe. And, of course, with the runner aboard, Mondo Hanno, he was also able to get to second base easily because of how far away it was from second base. Now Rogowski takes a ball inside for ball 3.
And now this is very dangerous territory here for the Athletic Edge and Aaron Devanis. Just one ball away from loading the bases, but there is 2 outs, so they have a payout here at this at-bat, and this is the only chance they have to stay in this game, you'd have to assume, with 2 runners in scoring position.
They're only down by 2, rather, but the Colt 45s have a chance to blow it open. The 3-0 misses high. That will load the bases. A 4-pitch walk issued to
Trajan Rogowski, and that is also only the second walk for the Colt 45s tonight, which is something they have done a lot this year. It's really what's helped them be successful offensively. Now will be bases loaded for Mark Anthony Carroll, who's 1-for-4 tonight with a double. He's also struck out swinging, popped out, and grounded out. Right-hand hitter facing off against Aaron Devanis. Here's the pitch from Devanis. It's a line shot up the middle and through for a base hit. Mondo Hanna will come in to score. Around third is Likens. The throw in from Mason is not going to be in time. It's now 8-4. Anthony Carroll tacks on 2 with a 2-RBI single.
Yeah, great hit there from Mark Anthony Carroll. Something we've seen a little bit of an up-and-down game for him so far tonight, but a great single that's going to drive 2 runs in, and that is the definition of insurance runs right there here in the bottom of the 8th, doubling their lead from 2-4, and they're still running. So we got another runner in scoring position, and get Anthony Carroll himself on first base as well to see if they can get a, extend this 2-out rally here.
And none other than the RBI leader of the team, Andrew Morrow, who takes a huge cut and a miss at this one for strike 1. Leading the team in the ribby department with 31 on the season. After that 2-run shot back in the first inning, he's also walked, flown out, and grounded out tonight. Here's the 0-1 delivery from Devanis. Misses wide to even up the count at 1-1.
And with the athletic edge here, they know that anything in the infield, he can be played at any base, and he put out without a tag, so... Definitely going to want to put this one in the outfield if you're Andrew Mora in the athletic edge. Just got to keep that in mind. They're just 2 outs down, just trying to get one more.
Quick throw down to second base. They have Rogowski caught in a pickle between second and third. A little tiki-talk passing back and forth. A great play by Duran, the catcher, the throw down to second base. And getting out of the jam there with the caught stealing, a 5-6-5 put out, will retire the side. As we head to the ninth, it's going to be Cruz Cabral. On in relief of Colton Sewell here in an 8-4 ball game as we head to the top of the ninth inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by Cascade Curations. Cascade Curations exists to be Redding's best when it comes to local art, musical instruments, and quality clothing. Cascade Curations art, music, and fashion is more than a store. Unlike anywhere else in the North State, they're located across from Jack's Grill in downtown Redding on California Street.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We enter the top of the ninth. The Colt 45's defense just 3 outs away from tacking on their 25th win and securing the series win over these Athletic Edge Express Baseball Club. The lineup will be Lucas, Brinson, and Duran, the last three in the lineup, followed by the starting lineup if they can keep the order moving. And on in relief to close this game out will be Cruz Cabral. Take you the rest of the way to the ninth inning. Here's Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here at TCNR Shasta Redding. Great to have you with us here in a top of the ninth ball game. The Colt 45s looking to improve to 25-3 on the year. They are close to beating last year's record of 36-4. It's going to be Cruz Cabral on in relief. He's in 6 appearances. He's got 1 save, 12 innings, 25 strikeouts, and 5 hits. His last appearance was back against the Peloteros on July 10th, midweek of this week, in a 9-4 ball game. 1 inning, and he did nothing less than what you would expect. He struck out the side. First pitch swing and a miss from the pinch hitter for the Athletic Edge Express, Clay DeMars. Right-hand hitter, who was in the lineup last night.
and he went 0 for 2 with a couple of Ks. Takes a ball here to even up the count at one ball. And yeah, one strike.
Left fielder number 28, Clay Mars.
Now the 1-1 pitch from Cruz Cabral off the first base side of the rubber. Check swing, appeal to first, went around. That's strike two. Cruz Cabral at 25 strikeouts on the year.
And you cannot stress the importance here for DeMars to get on base, as this is just the last three outs, and with Cruz Cabral, you don't want to let him get comfortable here. You want to get him on base early, get this relief pitcher feeling nervous.
Now the 1-2 swing and a miss blows the heater by him. High octane from Cruz Cabral for out number one.
Yeah, Jacob, and unfortunately for them, they have to go up against Cruz Cabral here on a fresh arm. And as I just mentioned, getting on base there would have been vital. And now they're just down to their final two outs in this game, trying to salvage this game. And they're going to need to double their score here in the first eight innings. In this ninth inning, with just two outs left. It's going to be a tall ask, but Brinson here has looked pretty good today. We'll see if he can get on base.
Typically the bottom of the lineup, not the part of the lineup you want up in a place like this, but Justice Brinson has had a solid night tonight as he takes a called strike one right at the knee on the inside corner. He's 0 for 1, but has reached first base on a hit-by-pitch and a walk. And then Cam Duran on deck behind him, who's 0 for 3.
Yeah, and Brinson has a very good night at second base, playing behind the pitchers. Looking very good at second base, just other than that one error, but now defense is not the point of interest here for the Athletic Edge. In order to get back into this game, they got to score some runs.
As this pitch misses low and away, it's even up the count at one ball and one strike. And that was that snowball effect of the E4 when Mondohano led off that bottom of the eighth inning, and it just kind of turned into a little rally for the Colt 45s where they got more insurance. Now the 1-1 from Cabral is hit in the air towards center. Rogowski giving chase back toward the warning track. Playable for him. He'll drift back and squeeze it for out number two.
And Rogowski has just looked great in center field today. He had a lot of movement. A couple hit right at him, but he makes the grab unexpectedly. But there's a few that just he really had to chase, had to backtrack or really get a jump on and get into. But he's made every single grab out there in his area tonight, and he's made it look effortless, to be honest. It's been a great night from Rogowski in center.
Now Cam Duran to the plate, right-hand hitter, facing off against Cruz Cabral, the lengthy right-hander, pitching out of the windup, able to rear back with some heat. First pitch, swing, the miss for strike one to Cam Duran.
And I would not be surprised if Cruz Cabral went back to that heater here after another pitch or two. Or maybe he'll just go right through and try to put this thing away while he can.
Here's the 0-1 delivery from Cabral, working off the first base side of the rubber. Cruz comes set, kicks, and deals. This is low. One ball and one strike.
And with no runners on base as well in the lead where it's at with the 4-run lead, you'd expect Cruz Cabral just to go for the knockout punch here.
The 1-1 swing and a miss for strike two. Blew a fastball by him. Cruz Cabral again out of the windup, just able to put even more on that baseball. All legs, all arms at that 6-4 frame. Able to just completely blow it by Cam Duran. Now the 1-2 delivery with two outs from Cruz Cabral. The 1-2, this is low. Two balls and two strikes. Try to get him to chase the off speed there out of the zone. Now Cabral with a deep breath, settles back in, working on that first base side of the rubber. McMillan, back behind the plate, gives him his signs. Cabral comes set, winds and deals the 2-2 pitch to the right-hand hitting Cam Duran. Hit in the air toward right, this one should end. It's playable. Second baseman Ryan Hamm making his way out in shallow right field. Will squeeze it for the outs. And that's the way the ball game ends. Athletic Edge Express out of Petaluma, California. Four runs on five hits, two errors. They left five for the Colt 45s. Eight runs on 10 hits, two errors. They left six. The winning pitcher was Nathan Medina. He got his first win of the year. Losing pitcher Chris Riddell. No save in this situation.
We'll be back out here tomorrow night at Chico Nuts, facing off against the Colt 45s at 7:15. Bring your family on out to the ballpark here at Tiger Field. The final time of the game was 2 hours and 18 minutes. First, thanks to Paul in the bot with KCNR, yes, Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and online at KCNR1460.com. And as always, thanks to David Wiley back in the studio, engineering things for us. This is Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange, the voices of the Reading Colt 45s, saying thanks for listening, and please drive safely. The final score from Tiger Field tonight here in Reading, California, is the Athletic Edge Express 4 and your Colt 45s 8.
Has continued to press the war in Ukraine. And as the president has indicated, he would like to have both sides come to the table, but that has not materialized quite yet.
Well, that has. And Monica Crowley doing the diplomatic thing. She knows her foreign policy as well as anyone. She has a different position right now, but on with Larry Kudlow yesterday. Joining us now is Mark Thiessen to talk about the latest in Ukraine. And this is unfolding quickly. He's, as you know, he's Fox News contributor. He's a fellow at AEI, and he's a Washington Post columnist and has a column about this today, how the president has come on to understand that Vladimir Putin, whoever he thought he was in 2016, is not the same guy today. Mark, welcome back. Your thoughts about where this is at right now. Let's say first from the Ukraine perspective.
Well, first of all, I think Donald Trump was absolutely right to try and talk to Putin and to try and bring this war to an end. And I think, you know, people criticize him for trying to engage our enemies. Ronald Reagan did the same thing. You know, Ronald Reagan had, you know, multiple summits with Mikhail Gorbachev and all the rest of it. But we always forget that there were like three Soviet leaders who died on him before he was able to meet Gorbachev. So yep. He would have never had the breakthroughs with Brezhnev or Andropov or Chernenko that he had with Gorbachev. And so Trump doesn't have his Gorbachev. He's got a Chernenko. He's got an Andropov. He's got a Brezhnev in Vladimir Putin. Somebody who doesn't want a deal, who doesn't want peace, who doesn't want to change things. And I think he was right to try it. But I think he's come to the conclusion that Putin wants the war. And so now we got to pivot.
So right now, according to Russia's expert, they said Putin is under the belief that he's got battlefield superiority and it's growing. He says Ukraine's defenses may collapse in the coming months, according to Putin, two people close to the Kremlin. Putin's view is out of the question, him stopping his offensive, quote, he will not sacrifice his goals in Ukraine for the sake of improving relations with Trump. And what he also said, he predicted that Trump would do what he's done now because he knew what he was doing, and that is continuing to fight the war and waste President Trump's time with hour-long conversations where the president concluded at the end, he's BSing me.
Yeah, so Trump's not going to let that happen because, I mean, if Putin were to succeed and break through the lines and march on Kyiv on Trump's watch, it would be his Afghanistan.
It would.
You know, it would be a disaster. You know, this is Biden's disaster that Trump is trying to fix. And but as soon as he lets that happen, the only way that happens is if we don't provide them with the weapons. As long as we keep providing them with weapons, Ukraine with weapons, Russia can't win. So what we have to do now is we need to pivot to a strategy of the goal is not to help Ukraine gain back all of its territory, though I wish they could have all their territory back. We know that's not going to happen anytime soon. We also don't want to slip back into the Biden strategy, if you could call it that, of slow rolling weapons and, you know, giving them just enough not to lose with no end game in sight. We have to have a clear strategic goal. The strategic goal is the same one that Trump set out from the beginning of his presidency: end the war. Force Vladimir Putin. We know now we're not going to do it with honey. We're not going to sweet talk him into giving up his war aims. So we have to force him. And so the way you force him is with a maximum pressure campaign on his, on the Russian economy and on the battlefield. And the Russian economy is teetering on the brink right now. The only thing that's been keeping them afloat are oil and gas sales, but oil and gas sales have collapsed in because Trump has been so successful in bringing down gas prices. The Russian economy is, they've lost a third of their oil and gas revenue, last month. And so if he puts a secondary sanctions on Russian oil and gas, if we put a tariff on every country that imports Russian oil and gas, he could do what he did in Iran in the first term, which is literally bring their oil and gas sales down to near zero. And that would absolutely destroy the Russian economy. And then you give Ukraine the weapons on the battlefield that they need to really inflict some serious pain on the Russian forces, and you force Vladimir Putin to the table.
But what do you say to people who think that we are, which was announced or maybe leaked but announced by the Undersecretary Elbridge Colby, that he looked around at our stocks and said, I can't give this to Ukraine. We need them for us.
So number one, there's a Joint Chiefs of Staff report apparently that says that's not true. I think that Bridge is kind of exaggerating some of the shortages. Number two, the way we build up our stockpiles of weapons in our defense industrial base is through foreign military sales. So we sell weapons to Poland. We sell weapons to Romania. We sell weapons to Taiwan. We sell weapons to Saudi Arabia. We sell weapons to Israel. Those weapon sales are what keep our industrial base going, because there's not enough U.S. taxpayer money to keep the assembly line hot to keep producing that. So what we need to do now is transition Ukraine from a military aid recipient. The last of the supplementals is about to run out in August. And transition them to a defense consumer like any other country in the world, and sell them the weapons, which is good for America. It's good for our readiness. And you know, we have some short-term stockpile issues because we had to give a lot of patriots to Israel during the 12-day war, but we can replenish those fairly quickly. And Ukraine can help us replenish them by buying the weapons.
So the Institute of Study of War, which I know you really like, Jack Keane is overseeing that, I think created it. He says China's foreign minister stated that the PRC does not want Russia to lose in Ukraine. This, according to ISW's assessment and intelligence, it says that he says that they want us distracted in Ukraine. They do not want all our focus to be on the Pacific. Now, that is what critics of the Ukraine policy say. We got to focus on China, and I understand that. Is there a way to do both? Is there a way to push back on Russia and still understand that China at any moment could try to take Taiwan?
Well, if we abandoned Ukraine, what would the lesson be to China?
You got it.
That we're not going to come to Taiwan's defense.
Right.
I mean, so here, imagine the world that Donald Trump inherited was one in which the U.S. was considered weak and feckless because of the Afghan withdrawal and which led directly to Putin's invasion of Ukraine, right? So Donald Trump, with Operation Midnight Hammer, restored American deterrence. The Chinese looked at Operation Midnight Hammer and said, holy, you know what? This guy really, no one thought he was going to do it, and he did it, right? And so that now all of a sudden they have to think, well, maybe he will defend Taiwan. Maybe we can't win. If Trump then I don't think this is a chance that he would, in hell that this would happen, but if Trump were somehow to abandon Ukraine and let Putin win in Ukraine, then the lesson to China is he's not even willing to give them weapons to fight the war themselves. He's not going to send U.S. forces to defend Taiwan. It would destroy all the deterrence that he just restored with Operation Midnight Hammer. So these things are inextricably linked. Fate of Ukraine, and that's why the Taiwanese believe the fate of Ukraine, the fate of Taiwan depends on the fate of Ukraine.
I hear you, and it looks like Keith Kellogg is encouraged. He told the Washington Post that Trump's agreed to key Ukrainian requests for military aid. They were very specific in the request. They had a very positive phone call. Also, reporting wide and confirmed that John Thune and Lindsey Graham's sanction policy has got 85 votes in the Senate, will be voted on this month. then July, the next couple of weeks, and it will be handed to the president for his approval, only if he wants it, but it looks like he is open to it. Man, that pushes back on a lot of people that said that the president wouldn't do this, and it might tick off the same people that were ticked off when he took out the Iranian nuclear program. What do you think about that, Mark Thiessen?
Well, so two things. One, Donald Trump is not an isolationist. He never was an isolationist. And it's funny how the isolationists today, they don't like being called isolationists, so they've come up with a new name. They call themselves restrainers. Well, who exactly are they restraining?
Yeah.
They're trying to restrain Donald Trump. You know, that's not your job. That's not loyalty. We thought we were going to bring in all these people who were going to faithfully execute Donald Trump's policy into the administration. Well, Donald Trump's policy was, and this is the thing that I love about Donald Trump, is he does what he says. I've never seen a president who's, you know, four presidents said we're going to move the embassy to the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Only Trump did it. Three previous presidents said we're going to stop the Iranians from getting a nuclear weapon. Only Donald Trump did it. He said, you've got 60 days. And on day 61, the war began. And within 12 days, Operation Midnight Hammer and the Iranian program destroyed. This is a man who does what he says. Well, listen to what he said on Ukraine. It was clear. He said it during the campaign. He said he's going to try and achieve peace, but if Putin says no to peace, then he's going to crush his economy and he's going to arm the hell out of the Ukrainians. So don't be surprised if he does what he said. This is the people like to – I think the isolationist – and by the way, the Reagan Institute poll, everybody should look. I wrote a column on this with all the findings. MAGA Republicans are less isolationist and more hawkish than establishment Republicans. The MAGA movement is not isolationist. Donald Trump is not isolationist. There's a small handful of Republican isolationists who have grafted themselves onto the MAGA movement like leeches and are trying to ride it into power and coerce Trump into following their policies, and he's not listening to them because he doesn't. Nobody pushes Donald Trump around. But these people are not MAGA.
I want to bring
you
over.
What MAGA is?
I want to bring you over to Iran if I can. And there is a report now that an unspecified Arab official, told Middle East Eye that the PRC, China, has sent surface-to-air missile batteries to Iran within the last 2 weeks to replenish Iran's degraded air defense, further suggesting Iran is turning to China over Russia for help. A side note, French intelligence assessed that Iran's nuclear program is seriously damaged and its weaponization timeline is extremely delayed. That backs up other reports. That's what they're getting. So your thoughts about what we should do as Iran tries to reestablish itself.
Yeah, so here's the beauty of what Donald Trump did and what Israel did in the 12-day war. So remember the Powell Doctrine, which was like, you know, Pottery Barn rule. If you break it, you own it, right? So you go and you strike a country, you own what comes next. And what Donald Trump basically, his innovation was, no, you can just break it. And you can break it over and over and over again. So the taboo of striking Iran is gone. What everyone was told, the Israelis, the hesitation in Israel for striking Iran was, well, they've promised they will send 1,000 ballistic missiles at us all at once, and our air defenses can't handle that, and that means there's going to be a second Holocaust. It'll be worse than October 7th because thousands and thousands of Israelis
that
will
die. That was said recently.
And that was what everyone estimated. Institute for the Study of War, they were never able to muster more than 40 ballistic missiles at a time. The whole taboo has been broken. What that means is Israel can strike Iran at will, anytime they want. So you want to go try and rebuild your air defenses? Israel can take them out. And I think we just got to keep playing whack-a-mole. It's like, look, the war is over. You just stay down, and if you try and get up, we're going to knock you down again. And we're going to do it over and over. You want to reconstitute your nuclear program? We took it out once, we'll take it out again. You're never going to be able to do it. So stop. You know, there's no negotiation, there's no discussion. If they try to reconstitute their air defenses, then Israel will take it out. If they try to reconstitute their nuclear program, Israel will take it out. And if we need to come back in and do it again, Operation Midnight Hammer 2 is ready to get ready to go anytime.
No, I hear you. So Karen Elliott House from the Wall Street Journal has a new book out on MBS. And in it, she just finished it. It's out this week. She said, MBS realizes he's got to make friends in the region with Iran because it doesn't seem as though America is now too timid to take action on their nuclear program. And I'm thinking to myself, wrong. Because you miss, if that was your belief, that's fine. But wrong.
Did they go to the printer before Operation Midnight Hammer?
Right. So if you're MBS, he goes, I don't have to make friends with my sworn enemy that's already rocketed me for no reason, right? That is already challenging me everywhere across the region. That caused all this unrest that stopped his progress. So even Trump changed in real time how the Middle East views us. And I just thought that was so telling because I'm going to interview her for Sunday show, your favorite show, One Nation, on Sunday at 10 o'clock. I know you like that, and you also like any reality show that has housewives. So those two are your favorite shows, Mark. And it's a great book on MBS. But this is how it changes in the region.
Yeah, I'm sure it's true. And this was the result of the Biden policy, right? That we were pushing them into Rap Rushmore with Iran and kind of come to that. And Trump in one night restored deterrence, reset the Middle East. I predict now you're going to see a wave of new Abraham Accords, because the bulwark against Iran is Israel, right? Backed by the United States. And by the way, this was a perfect, like, Reagan doctrine approach to things. Because what you do, Israel bore the brunt of the burden of dealing with the threat, and then we came in with an exquisite capability to finish the job. And that's a perfect division of labor. And so that's the division of labor going forward. Israel is going to keep its boot on Iran's neck. And we're there to back them up. We're going to provide them with weapons and intelligence and support. And if we need to come in and deliver a coup de grace, with a capability that we have that no one else does, then we'll do it. And everybody's going to make peace with Israel because Israel is doing the job for the entire Middle East.
And there could be some type of ceasefire. Could be today or by Sunday. And we'll see. Gets at least 10 hostages out. Then you got to decide what 10, which is going to be a really tough decision. But hopefully it's a decision we get a chance to help make. Mark Thiessen, always great. Read his column, The Washington Post. Appreciate it, Mark.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Back in a moment with you guys.
Giving you everything you need to know. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. We all get inundated with airline credit card offers. The perks of credit cards tied to a single airline include hefty sign-up bonuses, free check bags, and often these benefits can pay for themselves. Still, travel experts say you should be cautious, especially if you are a frequent flyer who already earns status with an airline. These travelers most times get the same perks without the card, like free check bags. Since many airline credit cards come with an annual fee, which can range from $95 to $550, that redundancy can represent wasted money. However, for a family that travels once or twice a year, if they get a credit card with the airline that they tend to fly, those free check bags alone could more than pay for the annual fee, according to Bankrate. But keep in mind, booking a flight with miles or points doesn't make it free. Travelers still have to pay out-of-pocket for taxes, fees, and surcharges. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Movie Profile as we check in on the summer box office with Fandango's Eric Davis and look at a big July at the movies.
You have these three sort of big tentpoles coming out, two of which are superhero movies. The first is Superman coming out July 11th. The thing to know about this one, it's written and directed by James Gunn, who did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And then Fantastic Four comes out July 25th, Marvel's first family. This film, Marvel Studios is promising, will be the one that really leads into Avengers Doomsday.
And what else are we expecting to round out the summer, the most highly anticipated?
We haven't talked about Jurassic World Rebirth. This was actually voted most anticipated summer movie in a survey we did for Fandango. And so those three are really going to anchor July. And then we have, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer. We have a Smurfs movie for the family. And then going into August, August is always sort of a wild card, but you have a, you know, a couple of sequels in Nobody 2 and Freakier Friday, an original horror movie in Weapons.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
So a few months ago, I decided I was going to make my first real estate purchase, which is so exciting, and I was going to get an apartment in New York City. But the gag was, it was Babe Ruth's apartment. So naturally, like, I'm telling everybody, I'm excited. I was going to buy it, and I was going to pay with cash. Like, I wanted this apartment bad. Like, it got to the point where the realtor was so confident. Paul and I went, I got an interior designer because I didn't want to bring my college furniture to Babe Ruth's apartment. That would be like criminal. Then the week that I'm supposed to get my keys to my brand new apartment, I get a call. The co-op board denied me.
So that is a little crazy.
So that was Livy Dunn, Brian. She was talking about how a co-op board in New York City denied her. We don't know why.
But why?
They don't know why. She's like, it's probably not because of the financials, but it could be because they didn't maybe want, like, an influencer, you know, a creator in the apartment. It might create some unwanted attention there. Who knows? That's, right, part of the co-op board in New York City, right? If you're getting a co-op, they can deny you. You don't need to know why.
I guess that's the situation. I know we have an anchor who we both know very well got turned down because she works at Fox.
And they gave her the reason?
They basically said that. And we don't, you know, we don't think, it's not us, we don't think everybody else in the building really would want you here. How about that? Is that crazy?
Just like Livy Dunn.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1994. Senator Ted Kennedy.
Jackie would have preferred to be just herself, but the world insisted that she be a legend too.
Police in Anaheim say they are following a white Ford Bronco, and that is O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head.
You guys have got to be strong because you are, which I just know, I just feel in my heart that you're okay, but you got to take care of each other.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with 2 counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children.
It's not a Republican victory. It's not a Democratic victory. It is the American people making a set of choices.
If you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green, he's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Today marks the one-year anniversary of President Trump's near assassination during a campaign stop in Butler, Pennsylvania, considered a turning point in the 2024 race for the White House. The question is President Trump a changed man from the experience?
According to close observers, Mr. Trump is much the same, but they also see signs his brush with death did change him in some ways. He is on higher alert on stage, such as in Iowa earlier this month when he commented on nearby fireworks saying, "Did I hear what I think I heard?" But there are other sensitivities. It said he's more attentive and more grateful and speaks openly about how he believes he was saved by God to save the country and serve a second term, making him even more resolved to achieve his promised agenda. George Williams, Washington.
Texans work together to recover from the deadly flooding. Hundreds of people gathered for a worship ceremony in Texas at a high school stadium in Kerrville to pray and remember the victims of the deadliest inland flooding to strike the U.S. since 1976.
Our communities were struck with tragedy literally in the darkness.
Youth Minister Wyatt Wentrek.
We pray for all residents of Kerr County.
Dozens of volunteers showed up to help.
Feels heartbreaking, man. I just drop everything in my mind and I say, I want to help.
11-year-old Colton Chansey wasn't home when the trailer where he lives was destroyed.
I just lost everything in my big trailer and took voltage.
But he's lending a hand clearing debris at the RV park next door.
I'm a volunteer right now, so I'm out here doing my best for this community.
I'm Jennifer King. Texans are also placing green bows on fences, gates, and trees in remembrance of the victims of the flooding. Reports of widespread flooding now in Oklahoma City. After severe weather brought heavy rain across the state, officials say several roads in the city's metro area are flooded out. More at townhall.com.
Summer is all about making great memories. Boy, I love getting out on the boat. I admit that one of my little joys in life is to get on a boat and ride around on Tampa Bay. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. Here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Let's see if we can get you out of pain. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made of natural ingredients. The best part of all, Relief Factor never masks the pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it for good. Whether it's doing what I do, whether it's kayaking on a lake, running around with the little ones, or just chilling in the hammock with a good book, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of the things you love all summer long. So if you're ready to reclaim your summer and make some amazing memories, head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Do it now and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That number again, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
The Senate version of the fiscal 2026 defense bill, policy bill would authorize an extra $32.1 billion for national security spending above what the Pentagon sought. Defense analyst Jim Talent tells Salem Radio Network that he's in full support of the Senate's additional spending.
Oh, I love it. Now, I'm a worrier, so I don't want it to be used as an excuse not to increase the top line, but there's a number of one-time needs that we can meet with this, and there's also programs we can begin to establish like Golden Dome. So I think it was great, and now let's just step up when the top line comes up later in the year.
Ford Motor Company recorded more safety recalls in the first 6 months of 2025 than any car company in an entire calendar year. Federal data shows that through the end of June, Ford issued 88 safety recalls. Ford said 9 of the recalls are expansions of earlier recalls. News and analysis at townhall.com. PETA is suing the American Kennel Club.
PETA says the influential club is promoting unhealthy physical features in Frenchies, Bulldogs, Dachshunds, Pugs, and Chinese Sharpeys. In response, the AKC says it rejects PETA's assertion that the standards create unhealthy dogs. The club also knocks what it calls PETA's mischaracterizations of the standards in question. The lawsuit turns up the heat around a debate over attributes that have been honed to define some breeds, including French bulldogs. Julie Walker, New York.
Professor at California State University, Channel Islands, among about 200 people arrested during a DHS operation at Glass House Farms in Camarillo, a pot farm. The operation was led by multiple agencies, including ICE. Over 500 rioters tried to interfere with what they were doing. One rioter was captured on video shooting at federal agents. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Fox News Radio Studios in Midtown Manhattan, giving you opinions and facts with a positive outlook. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Everyone, so glad you're there. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show coming to you on this Friday. Thanks so much for being with us all week long. We got, of course, a busy show today. Just this hour alone, we're going to have author Karen House, Pulitzer winning journalist from the Wall Street Journal, author of a brand new book, The Man Who Would Be King, Mohammed bin MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, and the Transformation of Saudi Arabia. I've got through the whole thing. It's amazing. And she's been working in Saudi Arabia since 1970. So if you want a perspective on the change and what it could mean for us and what it's meant to this point, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, thinking where we were with Saudi Arabia on 9/11, with most of the hijackers from there, and we thought Wahhabism is part of the school district, is part of their curriculum. What are you going to do? Just look out for the next terrorist coming your way. To de-emphasizing religion, talking about entrepreneurship, empowering women, trying to revolutionize sports and fitness. I'll give you an idea of what's going on. He's far from perfect. Also, Dr. Roger Marshall, the senator from Kansas, Budget, Health, Education Committees. We got to get to the bottom of what the big, beautiful bill is and why it's underwater with the public. Should it be? Let's get to the big three.
Number three.
It was unforgettable. I didn't know exactly what was going on. I got whacked. There's no question about that. I think they shot 8 bullets. Our sniper, within less than 5 seconds, was able to get him from a long distance with one shot.
That is the president recounting 1 year ago Sunday when he was almost killed, almost a year to the day. Here we are talking in Pennsylvania, and we still have so many questions. For example, just suspending 6 Secret Services at the point, is giving all the Secret Service to Jill Biden instead of Joe Biden, instead of President Trump, then a candidate. Is that the point? We'll talk about where the investigation's at.
Number two.
Agencies and in departments are making decisions all the time, but that one was troubling to me. And my bet is it's very troubling to the president. But the most important thing is that he reversed it.
That is talking about Mike Pence, the former vice president, keeping his word. That's what Donald Trump is doing. He is not abandoning Ukraine. He is giving them defense weapons and other weapons. NATO is buying them and sending them from us. By the way, he rebukes deranged Putin. He gave Putin an off-ramp. Putin didn't want to take it. President's keeping his word. Hamas held hostages. It looks like there's going to be 10 released, and a deal and a 60-day pause will come. We'll discuss it all.
Number one.
I think there's a pattern there that if you're breaking the law, you're protected by the Democrats, and if you're trying to enforce it, you're demonized. The same thing about the border. This, all of this violence is a symptom of the Democratic Party not saying anything.
Especially in California, and that, of course, is Victor Davis Hanson. Crackdown on illegal immigrants intensifies across the board as ICE and illegals and their outlawed defenders clash on the streets and in the churches and in the courts. We have the latest. And the latest is at a marijuana farm. Yeah, they were going to stay away from farms for the most part unless they had a killer out there that they knew they had to get. But marijuana farm illegally happening with illegal immigrants everywhere and youngsters working the fields. The ICE went in. And guess what? They were shot at. They're trying to find the guy. They got some video of it. But it just shows how dangerous this is getting. I mean, you got the danger in San Francisco. Did you see that video of them swarming the cars? Over in Buffalo, a man arrested and charged with threatening to kill a Homeland Security agent. Remember that? On July 4th, it was easy to get caught up in the flood. It was so tragic. But in Alvarado, Texas, an ICE facility was attacked in an organized way. McCallum, Texas, same thing, border attack. So they're on the offensive trying to stop law enforcement, ladies and gentlemen, law enforcement. This is a version of defund the police by, I think, a bunch of Democratic states who are used to running things. Let illegals be illegals. Let the homeless live on the streets. You can do human trafficking. You can do drugs out in front. Now with this administration, here's Tom Homan, cut one.
Well, what happened in California is just another example of protesters becoming criminals. And they've been emboldened by even members of Congress who compare ICE to Nazis and racists and terrorists. I mean, the rhetoric is so high. And I said 2 months ago, it's going to end up with a loss of life. And we had one the other day in Texas. And it's not over. I mean, the rhetoric has to end.
It is so true. And if you want to hear some rhetoric, I'll give you a taste of it. Cut three. Hakeem Jeffries.
There needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public. How do you respond to that, Leader Jeffries? Are Democrats not doing enough to fight these developments?
Well, we are in a more is more environment in terms of the unprecedented assault on the American way of life and our country that has been launched by Donald Trump and compliant House Republicans.
So when a Democrat says there should be blood in the streets, Jeffries, as a leader, says, obviously that rhetoric's not acceptable. That's how you start. And then what you say next is important, but that's how you start. Instead, we're living in a more is more environment. I didn't even heard that expression before. What's that supposed to mean? More is more. So blood in the streets, what's more than that? A lot of blood in the streets? What's more than that? A really, really lot of blood in the streets? More is more environment. What is that? Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, does not have these problems. He says this is what he sees happening over there. Cut eight.
I think what's happened in California, they've really developed a sense of entitlement to simply disregard federal laws they don't like, particularly with regard to immigration. And this has been happening for many, many years. And so I think the situation has escalated. I think that clearly they're in the wrong. But this is likely not going to stop in California anytime soon, because I think this has just been embedded in the psyche there that somehow they can disregard laws they don't want to follow.
And that's what they're hoping to do. And it's not going to work. But they are going to the courts today. And it looks like yesterday they were in court. Today they're going to get a ruling. And then a Biden-appointed judge expected to issue a ruling curtailing the administration's federal immigration operations in Southern California. How can you do that? How can you curtail it? It's not up to you. It's a federal problem. This is a federal law enforcement agency. And this is illegal immigration, which is a federal issue, hence the border. States suffer because the federal government doesn't do its job. So a judge is signaling that on Thursday that she will likely restrict the Trump administration's ability to do their job. The suit filed by a coalition of illegal immigrants, they write migrants, activists, and local governments accuse the administration of racial profiling. They say agents are relying on race, language, location, and type of work when making detention shops. You know what they're also picking up? Chinese. You know what they picked up in Nebraska? Head of MS-13.
federal government lawyer denied the agents a racially profiling. It's called going after leads with warrants, you idiots. But if this judge is just going to get overturned, I believe. So they'll try to curtail ICE even further and give these Antifa characters a feeling like they're going to win. So recapping the whole thing, federal agents conducted massive operation in Camarillo on the marijuana farm. They got huge friction, got their guys. Politicians pushed this false narrative that food workers and children are being raided. No, 10,000 have been reclaimed. They're looking for 400,000 they got in under Joe Biden. You know those little kids that walked around with little pins on with their name and address they want to be sent to, those 4 and 3 year olds at the border? We've all seen that video. What happened to those kids? That's what we're asking. Now, this administration says you can't just show up with a passport and grab them. Now you have to show you have a job, you have a U.S. citizenship, the living conditions that they're going to be in, and how you got the position of sponsor. That's going to help, along with getting the others. 8 accompanying migrant children were recovered at the cannabis farm. The child labor investigation initiated it. Situation there is still ongoing and active. And yes, we're defending the shooter and having trouble getting the mask shooter at ICE. ICE is the problem. I'm going to come back and talk about MBS, talk about Saudi Arabia, what it means for the Middle East. This might be the most impactful leader in the world today. Has done more to change his country than anybody else. And for the most part, it's all been positive. We'll get the inside story when we come back in the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Doctors and nurses from Texas make the Dean's List for celebrating a senior's graduation. Laura Wiley's kidney was infected and quickly turned into severe sepsis as she was admitted into the hospital right before her ceremony. News about Laura missing out on her big day spread through the community, and together with the school and the hospital staff, the lounge area of the hospital was transformed into a celebration with class of 2025 and congratulations posters. Blue and gold, her school's color, were everywhere, and Laura was able to watch the event on a live stream while dressed in her cap and gown. She watched all of her classmates walk onto the stage to get their diplomas, and Laura's name was announced with cheers both at the school and on the hospital floor. The school's assistant principal even drove to the hospital to present her with the diploma. Laura was overwhelmed with gratitude, saying she wouldn't have changed a thing. Congratulations, Laura, on your graduation and making the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health.
July is UV Awareness Month, an annual skin cancer awareness campaign to talk about skin cancer protection and prevention. The American Academy of Dermatology says UV is the root cause of most skin cancers, and there are some steps you can take to protect yourself. They want you to practice safe sun, not just in the summer, but year-round. First, hit the shade when you can. Also, wear sun-protective clothing. And always apply a broad-spectrum, water-resistant sunscreen with an SPF of 30 or higher. Dermatologists also highlight some common sunscreen mistakes, like ignoring the label, using too little, using an old bottle, or relying solely on sunscreen. Also applying it only in sunny weather. They say only about 20% of Americans use sunscreen on cloudy days, when up to 80% of UV rays can still penetrate your skin. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You're born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out, and it's the look out that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. You think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, we are back, and I want to bring in Karen House. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and former publisher of the Wall Street Journal, author of a brand new book, which is great, The Man Who Would Be King, Mohammed bin Salman and the Transformation of Saudi Arabia. She might be this nation's premier expert on Saudi Arabia, from which he witnessed and wrote about firsthand since 1970. And she did focus on one of the most interesting leaders in the world who's done more to change their country than any leader maybe in our lifetime so rapidly. He hasn't been perfect, and neither is Saudi society, but man, has he changed things. Karen, welcome back, or welcome.
Thank you, Brian. So, I'm one of your morning watchers.
I'm honored. So thanks so much for doing this book, and we're going to talk on Sunday on One Nation about it. Yes. I saw you with Brett. It is great. Well, read every word of it. Your perspective is invaluable. First off, on MBS. How does this guy get so powerful so quick, and how did being passed over for a position lead to the most fortunate position of his career?
That's an interesting question. Yes, I think, you know, as a child, he says his mother, who was the third wife of Salman, his father, told him, you know, don't be a also-ran, be as good as the first wife's children and get out there and work. And he says, I looked for opportunities that my cousins didn't see, and when I saw one, I took it. So he seems to have always kind of been felt a bit down the ladder, but determined to try to get to the top of the ladder. And I think what really helped him bond with his father, who is the one who really put him where he is. His father's two eldest sons died within a year of each other, and their brothers were busy with their own families, and Mohammed was about, I think, 16 or 17, so he just spent a lot of time with his father, showed a lot of interest. He's clearly intelligent, I would say, from my conversations with him. So he absorbed a lot. He listens well. And then when his father became king, he was there at his elbow to reform the government.
It's kind of interesting that he was number two in his law school class, but he was passed over for a position, you say, for nepotism, which is a joke because everyone seems to be related to the royal family. Yeah. And then the king takes him in and says, just come over and work with us. And he gets a chance to see the running of the country, where he gets the opportunity at that moment where he says he was actually ready to get the job. How important was the Ritz lockup for him to assume power? What was that about?
Well, that occurred in 2017, I guess. And his father had been in power for 2 years, and they wanted to reduce, if not get rid of, corruption. And for years, when I was going to Saudi Arabia, people said that 30% of the government budget was just siphoned away by this prince and that businessman. And so he, in his determination to develop the country, you can't let money just ooze out if you want to spend it on big projects. So arresting a lot of the royals and some prominent business people and putting them in the Ritz-Carlton until they agreed to give up big sums of money was, a first of all, a big statement against corruption. Secondly, and as important, it was intended to remove from power the previous king's two most prominent sons, who they felt harbored the desire to rule the country, that were competitors. So Mitab bin Abdullah, was head of the National Guard, and they arrested him. He is said to have paid $1 billion, and he is in essence under house arrest in Saudi Arabia now. So, and his brother Turki refused to pay anything and is still in prison, I'm told.
Well, so...
It removed competitors and it diminished corruption.
So he takes over, and, you know, of course, there's not tolerance for people who speak out, and that's still the existence, but he wants to start empowering women. He starts bringing sports. He starts allowing them to drive. He wants them to be seen. He does not enforce the dress code. And what you say, and this is the most fascinating, you said that MBS inherited a Saudi mired in religious extremism, lethargy, and failed five-year plans. He chained the religion, and since then has given the kingdom constant action, confidence, and the grand goals of his vision in 2030. If you told me after 9/11 that they'd be able to sideline, religion, and have it play a role, but not a dominant role in society, you would have said I was crazy, or I would have said you were crazy if you had said that. But that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. I think he did it because he is now 39. He was, when his father came to power, 29 and began working with his father. So in 60% of Saudis are under 30. So he knew that generation, and they were basically one of the subjects of my first book on Saudi Arabia, their frustration at the heavy hand of religion, which allowed them nothing to do. No entertainment, no movies, no mixing with women. A young man was not allowed to enter a shopping mall alone because he might prey on a woman. So men had a particularly miserable life, and women didn't have one any better because they were basically kept at home unless they were a school teacher. That was kind of the career open to them.
It's amazing. That's why you always hear, too, they live for the afterlife. You look at these extremists, Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, they live for the afterlife. Nobody's trying to say, live for this life. And if you want to live for this life, make it better. Kind of like the American attitude. Here's what he said to Brett Baer last year. Cut 36.
What do you see 10, 20, 30 years for Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia and really the perfect track Since that time, we would be among the top 7 GDP globally. I'm trying to get Saudi Arabia back on the right track.
You're a data guy, clearly.
We can see today. Today we are the largest, 17, number 17 ranked as the largest GDP in the world, but in G20, we are almost ranked number 15 from 20 in just a few years.
And he wants to spread out the economy, not just an oil economy. He wants to be a tourist attraction. Is it, if our last question, we only have a minute, is it working?
Yes, it is so far. I mean, women are driving, women are working everywhere. They have provided a huge boost to the economy. And the tourism industry is definitely developing, and sports is a part of that. That's part of a way of attracting foreigners to come and visit the kingdom. So far it's working. He still has a ways to go to transform the economy off of oil, because it's still a huge percentage of the budget revenue and the country's GDP. But they are making progress.
You wrote such an important book, Karen House, and your perspective just can't be replicated. Pick up the book, The Man Who Would Be King, all about MBS. Karen House, thanks so much.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for you art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to what I call reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio. If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Jahnke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Shooter's one of those people that I began to monitor. I've seen him going in and out of eyesight, looking up and paying close attention to where our sniper units were located within that building.
Crooks was spotted on the westernmost window facing south. The Beaver County sniper asked me to come speak with him, and when I went over there, he'd showed me he'd taken two photographs of Crooks. He was suspicious. He kept looking up at the window I was posted at. And as he kept looking up at the window I was posted at, he walked in up against the building to the point where I couldn't see him, almost like he was hiding.
Just didn't really seem like he gave any cares about actually being at a presidential rally.
So that is just a small portion of the special about the 1 year since the assassination attempt on Donald Trump that came so close. The more you analyze it, you realize how close it came to taking his life right then, right there. I mean, keep in mind, no running mate. It would have been curtains for the Republican Party. It would have been a walk for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris to the presidency, and we would have had a tragedy that we still haven't fully unwound. But the person closest to telling us who knows what happened that day is with us now, is Selena Zito, nationally syndicated columnist, good friend of the show. Her book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland, is now out. Selena, your thoughts first about what you just heard about now that we know the details. You were behind the scenes after speaking to the president before the event. But now the more you hear about this gunman moving around on the roof and how he was there earlier and how he got up and how people spotted him, what are your thoughts as you're hearing that?
Well, you know, it reminds me, Brian, in the weeks and months after 9/11 and how we talked about how these interagencies, these agencies that are charged to protect us and protect the country and protect, you know, and have intelligence didn't communicate with each other, right? That was the genesis behind Homeland Security being created. And that same failure happened that day. There was no communication with local law enforcement. And that is so egregious because these are the men and women who know that territory. This is their backyard. This is where they live. And they have no ability to communicate with the federal agencies that are there supposed to be protecting the president.
So there's so many elements to this.
there's Corey Compentore and his death as he jumped on his family and saved their lives but lost his. Big fan of the president, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. President moved his head just at the right time. But why don't you tell people, you were supposed to interview the president, first time in a few years, and it was going to be back at Bedminster, but you wanted to go see the event at Butler, and you were going to fly back with him, right?
Right. So the morning started out, I was supposed to interview him for 5 minutes before the event, then it changed to 5 minutes after the event, then it went, do you want to go to Bedminster? And I'm like, of course. And then right before he goes on stage, they grab me and say, it's go time. I thought I was going to interview him then, right? I thought they changed their mind again, which is how these things roll. But instead, he wanted to say hi to me. And I asked about my grandchildren. Yeah. And then he said he's looking forward to the interview. At that moment, we're 2 minutes before he goes out. So I'm placed along with my daughter in the buffer. And that's the well that's around the stage. That's why I end up, so close to him when it happens. And that's why the photo, the cover of the book taken by my daughter is because we're following him out. The rally had barely, just got started. I mean, there had to be at least 50,000 people there. It was massive. And he does two things simultaneously that he never does. If you've ever gone to a Trump rally, you know that relationship between him and the people attending is very transactional. He never turns his head away from that. He never has anything out on stage to distract people from him. Yet in several split seconds, a chart comes down. I remember turning to my daughter and says, what is he, Ross Perot now? Because there's a chart down. And then he turns his head away. He never turns his head away. And that's when the first four shots went out over my head.
And so did you ever feel you're in danger? Because I know, an excerpt from your book, I know you said that your son-in-law dove on your daughter and then pushed you to the ground?
His campaign press advance man, Michelle Picard, eventually, after the 7-4 shot, or the last four shots rang out, took me to the ground. And because I didn't get down. You know, these things do. You know, people say tragic events tend to go in slow motion.
Yeah.
For me, that was also the case. I see him grab his ear. I see the blood streak across his face. I see him take himself down. That was my first indication that maybe he's okay, or at least he's not as gravely wounded as I thought he might be because of the blood. And then at the same time that the next round of shots go off, he is surrounded by a sea of Secret Service. And I see them, put a protective stance around him. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I have a gift. And I have purpose. I'm a witness to history. I need to remember everything that is happening around me because I think it's very, very important. I didn't know I was going to write a book in that moment. But I knew that I was chronicling history. So I didn't think about myself, and I'm not trying to come across as selfless. I just knew that I had purpose and I had a job in that moment. So I continued working. My recorder was on. I heard everything that he talked about with the Secret Service, including his insistence to put his shoes on, which was almost like, in the moment, it was almost like comic relief, right? Like, my God, he's talking about
his shoes. But did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. That was that close. And the crowd at that point, as they're lifting, as the Secret Service is, surrounding him as he lifts himself up, they start saying USA. And I can see him mouth it. And then they go to take him off the stage and he's like, no, wait. And he does the fight. And the next morning, when he calls me the first thing the next morning.
What time?
And he says, I don't remember even sleeping. Maybe like 7 in the morning,
and
something
where are
like
you?
That. I was at home.
Okay.
And I live in Western Pennsylvania. My family is from Butler, came to Butler in 1740s, 1750s. was a founding families of Butler.
That's an interesting twist.
Yeah. And he calls me, and he the first thing he says, Brian, is, Selena, this is President Trump. Like, I don't know that, right? and then he says, are you okay? Is your daughter and son-in-law okay? He says them by name, too. And then he says, I am really sorry we didn't get to do that interview. And I did something that my parents are not going to be proud of. I said, are you bleeping kidding me, sir? You were just shot. I'm not worried about an interview. He would go on to call me. It was a total of 7 times that day. We had
really?
Some powerful, powerful.
So he said, let's do it over the phone? Is that what you mean? Let's do this interview over the phone?
No. He was just talking.
Just wanted to talk.
He just wanted to talk. And had I been a different reporter, I probably would have pressed him. But I felt like he needed to talk. And I felt like he needed space to think about things. So we talked about God. He questioned himself. He's saying it to me, but I know he's talking about himself, right? He goes, why did I do that, Selena? Why did I turn my head? Why did I have that chart go down? And then he comes to the conclusion several times that it was the hand of God. And then he comes to the conclusion that he was spared because he has been given a higher purpose than to just be a candidate for president, to be the best thing that he could possibly be for the country. And it's a really just an amazing and emotional experience the reader will go through.
I want you to hear also what Susie Wiles' take was. She was also there. Was she near you?
No, she was in the back. Susie was in the back, like behind the stage.
Gotcha.
And there's monitors back there. They eventually took me back there, but there's monitors there and they're watching watching everything that happens.
Yeah. I've seen behind the scenes. They're very efficient. Here's Susie Wiles talking to Miranda Devine, cut 29.
The way the rally itself unfolded, the chart he had them put up on the screens, on the big LED boards, came. It was always the last chart in the rotation, and it was always on the other side. So to have him ask for that chart 8 minutes in and to have it come on the side that is opposite caused him, well, it's this way, caused him look in a different direction and lift his head just a little because it was higher. And that just doesn't happen because it happened.
Yes.
It happened because I believe God wanted him to live.
So you're all under the same impression.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what was really moving, Brian, and what I think is important about the rest of the book, because the book goes then through the rest of the campaign and what was really happening on the ground, and him and I talking dozens of times between July and November. I ask him one question for a story. I said, can I just ask you one question? I'm really curious about this. He goes, sure. And I wrote that. I wrote it the next day. Why did you say fight, fight, fight? He said, well, Selena, and I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, I wasn't Donald Trump in that moment. I represented the presidency of the United States. I represented everything that is supposed to, when you think about America, when you think about grit, exceptionalism, never backing down, keep getting up when you get kicked down. I knew that I had to project that because that was a responsibility for me as president. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm representing everything that is good and great about our country. And I knew had I not done that, there might have been panic in that farm field, and there wasn't. He said that there might be panic in the streets and people watching it on television, and there wasn't. I needed people to know that we go on and we will always go on no matter what comes at us.
That's what he told you that day, the next day.
Yeah. And so, we talked about it again a couple weeks ago.
So does he like the book?
Yeah, he likes the book a lot.
Okay, great.
He has endorsed the book. He signed the book. He loved it. He thought I did a really, really great job.
And you did. The other thing is three people were hit. One did not survive, Corey Compitore.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's – is it Compitore or Compitore?
Compitore.
You know? Compitore. Okay. So his wife's on the special, and she is obviously extremely upset. And if you look at this guy's background, he looks like just an extraordinary American. So it like really characterizes so many of the people that follow President Trump. Alexis McAdams also there. I want you to hear this exchange. Cut 27.
If you had the chance to sit down with the Secret Service, what would you ask them?
I want to know what the hell they were thinking that day. Where were they? Why didn't they come pick up the radios? Why weren't they in communication with all those other people? Why weren't they paying attention? Why did they think that that roof didn't need covered? I can see it. You can see it from the farm show. Why wouldn't they? Why would they let the president come out? Why weren't they watching? We were all sitting ducks that day. Their blood, our blood is all over their hands. I'm angry. I lost the love of my life. My kids lost their father. They screwed up.
Man, that says it all.
Yeah, that's really rough. I have a piece in the Washington Post today that I interviewed both President Trump and Helen. You know, Helen and Corey, they first met in kindergarten. They were boyfriend and girlfriend in middle school. These are people that were intertwined almost their entire life. And the emotion that she feels is very reflective in the interview I do with Trump. He carries Corey with him all the time. All the time. It's very difficult for him to talk about. And those lives are forever intertwined.
And do they feel like the president cares about them?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In the interview she does with me, her affection for President Trump is unwavering. And to this day, she fears about his life because of that incompetency in the protective services. And you know, President Trump has said this, and so has Helen. It's not about the men and women that were there that day. It's about the decisions made from D.C., far from Farm Field and Butler. And it was those moments, Brian, that changed America a lot that day in a way I don't think people really have been able to understand or soak in.
Selena, congratulations. We're going to talk about this again, but I want everyone to know to pick up the book now and get it. I think everyone thinks they know the story, but they don't. They got to pick up your book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. It's all 1 year Sunday. So, and there's also a special on Fox Nation. Selena, congratulations, and we'll have you back.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great job. Back in a moment. We'll try to squeeze in some calls. 1-866-408-7669.
Learning something new every day on The Brian Kilmeade Show.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could it be lower testosterone?
Lower T.
Happens to most guys after 40.
I was in the same boat until I started using Nugenix Total T2.
Total T2, the new one I've seen on TV.
Yep, it's the next generation testosterone booster for both free and total testosterone. It's packed with even more men-boosting power, sending nitric oxide levels skyrocketing in just 3 hours.
It actually works?
I feel like I'm in my 20s again. I've got more energy, better results in the gym, and things are even better in the bedroom. Send them a text and get a complimentary bottle.
Text now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the number one testosterone brand at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, absolutely free. Text BEACH to 231-231. BEACH to 231-231. BEACH to 231-231.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Fox News Audio presents Unsolved with James Patterson. Every crime tells a story, but some stories are left unfinished.
The thing that I'm so afraid of is I don't know how much evidence is left to even point the finger at the true person.
Best-selling mystery author James Patterson takes listeners into the core of some of America's most haunting mysteries. Real cases, real people. The Unsolved with James Patterson podcast. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
A lot of people on the right say, well, it's New York, they deserve it, they're all on the left, they should suffer. But if this guy wins, he gets a $100 billion budget to use towards his cronies. And we've all seen, thanks to President Trump and his work, what they do when they use these budgets. They give them to their friends to promote radical activism. They fund terrible things. This is very dangerous stuff for somebody this extreme, and it's our job to speak up against it. And it's crazy. Here in Silicon Valley, some of my friends and I speaking up against him were being criticized for speaking against him. And meanwhile, he's like this radical anti-white communist. It's crazy.
He is anti-white. He was anti-white in, and he's white, I guess. He's in college at that ridiculous school he went to. And now he writes down he's African-American because he's a white guy from Uganda. I guess technically Jesse Jackson should be faulted because he wanted no longer for black people to be called black. He wanted them to be called African-Americans. So I guess technically born in Uganda, maybe he is, but that's not being sincere on your application. And Mamdani is who, that's Joe Lonsdale. Joe Lonsdale is a self-made multi-billionaire who is the founder of Palantir, a big Trump supporter. but he's concerned about Zohran Mamdani becoming the socialist communist mayor of New York City. Forget about political fortunes. This guy gets more money from the federal government in New York City than anything else. He will destroy the state. Upstate New York dies on the vine. Long Island gets starved. And New York City falls apart.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.